That would be Day of Reckoning by Pat Buchanan.
Well, it is what it is the sense that we are ceasing really to be a nation and a unique and different people, Americans. When you allow, 6 million, or what have we got, 12 or 20 million, Chertoff has no idea how many strangers are in your house, in your home, and millions more are coming, and they're pouring in every year, and you've got a breakdown of the culture in the sense that we no longer, kids learn American history and our heroes and our holidays.
I don't know. I think we still learn American history.
Well, I've talked to little kids who tell me they're learning about Gandhi.
Well,
it's just absurd. And what you're going to do is you really, what is happening is America is decomposing, deconstructing, as nations do. That's how nations end. You see the United Kingdom.
Scotland
breaking away.
I'm with you for the most part, Pat Buchanan. And look, it comes around holiday season. I'm an atheist, but I don't like holiday. I don't like to see, I don't celebrate. I like Christmas. I like to see the word Christmas on my cards in front of my stores. I do feel like there's an erosion of that. I don't know how much of that has to do with illegal immigration, but I do in general feel like we're losing our culture and identity to a certain extent.
Well, this is my point. It's the Mexicans are not the ones responsible for that. You're right. We went through a great cultural war in the 1960s that has continued and endured, and you've seen not only a militant atheism, if you will, or secularism at war with Christianity. You see the Christian churches splitting apart over issues like right to life and gay rights and gay bishops and creationism and all that. So what you got is a disintegrating culture, at the same time a flood of people coming into the country who have no knowledge or awareness of it. And this is a formula for the breakup of countries. I mean, we saw the Soviet Union, as soon as it became free, all those people had no culture in common, and they broke into 15 countries, Yugoslavia into 7.
Right.
Czechoslovakia broke in half. Belgium's coming apart. Quebec's trying to break away from Canada. Scotland's trying to break away from England. Catalonia's trying to break away from Spain.
Just talking about that.
To these pressures, my friend.
Blah, 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 Catalonia. Yeah. It's every day up in here.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I've got to get going because I've got another
we do
show
too,
coming
yes.
up, and I appreciate you giving me the time.
Hey,
can I ask one question
Day
real quick?
Of Reckoning, yes.
Okay. What do you think of Ann Coulter?
Ann Coulter?
Yeah.
If I wasn't married, I'd marry her.
I thought maybe that was sad. Hey, she's hot, dude. Mr. Buchanan, thank you so much. The book is called Day of Reckoning, and it's in bookstores now, and I would assume Amazon.com and all the like.
Yeah, yes, yeah. I'm going to say, because I just put it on
hold. Yeah, I'm looking at Amazon.com right now, and there it is.
Can you imagine Pat and Ann having a little brood of Klansmen?
Can you imagine? Right there, right? They would come out transparent. That's how white they would be.
You know, here's... Well, we'll keep this going. You give us your thoughts on immigration and what we should do about it. I'll tell you, it's a sore subject, and it's tricky, and it's hard for a lot of people to wrap their brain around a guy like me who wants prostitution legalized
pot.
And wants pot legalized.
You're cool
and
with the gays.
Cool with the gays, cool with the stem cell research, cool with everything. But I live in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is becoming Mexico, and that's not okay with me. I don't want it to become a different culture, and it's not a racist view. I wouldn't want it to become Germany or France.
Actually,
or you pick the country. I would not want that to become our country, whatever the country is.
I know our culture, obviously, but you know what you would be interested to learn? I think you probably may already know it, that I just learned. Do you know shows have to be dubbed into German in Germany? Like here, we'll have Mexican
shows. Yeah, there's
shows
a lot of those kinds of laws.
Where you have to speak your native tongue, and they will not let American television shows or English or Australian mm-hmm. shows on without being redubbed by a German actor.
Yeah, I don't know how far I'd want to take it, but my point is we are becoming a different culture, and the culture we're becoming is not a great one because that culture failed, thus it spilled into our culture and is now becoming our culture. It seems pretty straightforward to me, and I always say this. Here's how I say everything. If you want to find out what's good and what's bad, or how it works, we'll just take Los Angeles. It's probably about 50% Latino at this point.
Easy.
Would you like it to be 60% Latino? Everyone close your eyes, even if you're driving. Would you like Los Angeles or whatever community you're in to be more? Ah, I don't see anyone's hands flying up. And would you like it to be the same? You see, if the answer is I don't want it to be more, well, the next answer isn't going to be I'd like it to be exactly the same. It usually means I'd like it to be a little less.
Well, I'm curious about the question you asked Pat Buchanan. He didn't answer. What to do about people who are here now?
Ah, you tell us your thoughts. He had some ideas. He wanted to get
them the hell out. That's
illegal aliens.
I don't think, look, I'm pragmatic. I don't think that that's the answer, but I do think the answer is whatever problem you have, and I'm looking at this as a problem, stop the bleeding. Plug the dike.
Right.
Whatever it is, the ship is listing to the left, the engines are out. Well, what's our first move? Well, let's plug the hole. Plug the hole, and then we can talk about bailing out the engine room, or we can talk about refiring the generators, or we can talk about ballast tanks. To me, plug the hole. A whole time we're arguing, the hole is still open, and there's more seawater getting into our big cruiser. Plug the hole, and then we'll talk. And someone wants to talk about a five-part plan where we plug the hole, restart the engines. I'm just saying, let's just plug the hole. We'll buy ourselves a little time and we'll talk. Maybe we can work with the water that's in the ship. Good times. We'll take a break. Tell us what you think. We'll do it next.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. To the Adam Carolla Show. Ace has opened up the phones to a rather touchy subject here in Southern California, immigration. You want to build a wall or tear one down? And which language would you like to speak while you're doing it? Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, what happened to our moat with piranha?
I think we're going with the fence today. All right, 866-901-ADAM. What do you think? Let's talk to Johnny. Johnny?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
What's happening, Johnny? What do you think?
The fence thing, I don't think it's such a good idea because, you know, a few years ago, or maybe not that long ago, my people dug underground tunnels underneath whatever fence border that, you know, whoever put up, and were able to move drugs, people, and all kinds of other merchandise. So you think if they put up a new reinforced fence that we're not going to be able to dig underneath that?
Well, I think as far as the fence goes and putting a fence around anything to either keep people in a prison or keep people out of a country, I think you argue whether you want to achieve your goal or not and then work on the fence later and the logistics of the fence, meaning can we agree that we would like people to stop flowing into this country from Mexico? If we can agree on that, then a fence or something like it needs to be built. Now, whenever you build a fence or whatever you do, there'll always be a breach. There's no such thing as a prison that nobody ever breaks out of. But if you can keep 98% of the prisoners in the prison with a good fence, well, that's a hell of a lot better than no fence.
Well, there is a bit of a defense to that. And that is because it was the, I believe, the Reyes brothers. I think they're twins. Right. And they dug, So they dug these tunnels, hundreds of miles worth of tunnels. There was 11 of them, and they were like 10 miles each. Mm-hmm. What you can do, they figured out quite easily, is use enough TNT at a good enough distance that it will cause enough seismic activity to do no real damage to anything but tunnels built out of dirt, and they'll collapse on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, this is going to involve manpower. To me, here's what the fence does. You build the fence, and then you start patrolling for other things because you don't have to look at an open border. When the border's wide open, you need X amount of manpower to guard that wide open border versus the fence. What I'm saying is back to the prison. If you have a fence around a prison, then you need four security guards up on towers staring at the fence. If you have no fence, you need 400 security guards joining hands and forming a circle around the thing. I just don't, this idea that a fence never stopped anyone from doing anything, fences stop people from doing things all the time. Every single business, every airport has a fence around it. Every place that we don't want people in or out of has a fence around it. I don't understand the concept about the fence not working. I know people don't like the idea of a fence, and that's another discussion. But the fence not working, I disagree with that. I love fences.
I disagree.
Robert Frost said it right in his poem, good fences make good neighbors.
That's right. Hey, Johnny?
Yeah.
But I agree, there'll always be people coming. There's always going to be people coming into this country. And they're going to be people coming legally and illegally, and they're going to be people coming here that are hardworking, honest people, and they're going to be people coming here with criminal records, and they're going to be terrorists. There's always going to be people coming to this country. My point is if we beef it up and we slow it down, then we can work on the smaller number of people that are coming to this country versus the sort of run for the border.
Your point is well taken. It's hard. I get a little queasy about aligning myself with the likes of Pat Buchanan because he does things like call gays sodomites and believe in abortion under any circumstances.
So what, though? My sister and a gay guy got in a fight, and she called him a sodomite, and he called her a breeder. It's just name
that
calling.
That was all in good fun.
Pat Buchanan is not in good fun. They were fighting in an airport. Pat is gnarly.
Pat is very close to a fascist. It's difficult to agree with any of his views.
He's in his boots.
This is the problem. There are people whose politics you disagree with and whose presentation you disagree with, especially. It's like, as hateful as Ann Coulter is, there's a few points that I definitely agree with. As far as Ann Coulter, the problem is you don't want to agree with anything because it's like, you know what it is? You pick the team you hate the most. You pick the biggest fan for that team. That you put the uniform on, and anything that comes out of your mouth you want to disagree with, and you do, except for once in a while they make a decent point, but right. You don't want to hear it. You're busy staring at the Giants jersey or the Patriots jersey or whatever it is the person is wearing. And yes, the guys like Buchanan, you hate yourself for disagreeing or agreeing with them, but there's only a couple of points you agree with them on, and they're intelligent people.
But that kills you.
No question. That he's well spoken.
When you sit next to Buchanan on Politically Incorrect or something, and you basically disagree with almost everything he says, but then he says this, and you're stuck aligning yourself with Pat Buchanan.
Yeah,
because you're not there to talk about something else.
But here's my feeling. I think people need to get over themselves and get over their egos. There are going to be people you disagree with who you agree with on certain topics.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of Pat Buchanan, and I'm not a big fan of Jesse Jackson. I'll pick a couple of guys, let's say, who are to the right and to the left. But I do agree with each one of them on certain points. I don't know why I have to toss the baby out with the bathwater. Marcos?
Yeah, this is Marcos. Hey, listen, Adam, this thing about culture that you're talking about erosion, and Buchanan talked about the erosion of our culture. I've lived in L.A. 30 years. I'm a Jewish guy, but as a cultural Jewish guy, I go to temple occasionally, and I have a tamale occasionally, and I'll go to dim sum, and I'll enjoy going to the Greek Orthodox Church for a party, and I'll go to, you know, the Indian...
Have fun leaving on fire.
Dude, you just can't keep a job, can you?
But yes.
So the idea of culture and the erosion, this Buchanan talking about culture erosion and the kids learning about Gandhi, well, I tell you what, that's what's great about this country. He is standing on the shoulders of people that have given him the opportunity to do that, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have protection of the borders, but to kick people out and to leave our schools to...
All right, but Marcos, here's what I'm saying, and I agree with you. It is a great thing about living in most of the big cities in this country, but especially Los Angeles. Every night about 6:30, you have your choice. Do you want Thai food? Do you want Mexican food? Do you want Greek food? You may live that kind of multicultural multicultural life that you just described. What I'm saying is we're getting to a point where you drive down to one corner and you hear Mexican music playing, and then you go to the next corner and you hear Mexican music playing, and you go to the next corner and you hear Mexican music playing. That's not a multicultural existence. That's starting to become one culture. Now, of course, you're always going to be able to find a synagogue and you're always going to be able to find Thai food. But you have to drive past more and more Mexican restaurants to find the Thai place. I'm talking about a balance.
And well, then if the balance then is, of course, then the people that want to have more representation, they open up their own little restaurants, and they're small business owners as well. The Mexican community, if they're that entrepreneurial, then we should be learning from them.
Yeah.
Great.
Right on.
Absolutely.
No. Sorry. Now, look, here's what happens. Let me explain to you guys how it works. And it would work this way with any culture and any group. And I would be the same if I went to another country. If I move to France and I move my kids to France, I would learn the language and I would tell my kids to learn the language.
Absolutely.
Except if there was a large city where everyone spoke English or half the people spoke English and my kids could go to a school where they were taught in English, I would say, all right, I'm going to move into that place. And then as it turns out, there's a Fuddruckers on the corner and I get to hang out at that and I get to go to Hooters and I get to watch American football. And before you know it, I am saying to my friends over here in the United States, no, you don't have to learn the language. And no, you don't have to bring what you have with you. We have it all here. Come on in. Well, before you know it, that is not France anymore. That's a little enclave of California or the United States within France. It's a tough transition, but that's why we need to have English taught only in our schools, and that's why we need to hang on, because it becomes easy to immerse yourself in your own culture in someone else's culture.
Yeah, but you're defining culture by the standard of, let's say, the Buchanan white, if you will, or the, like Teresa refers to, this almost fascist view of culture. That word is much too sensitive, much too vague.
What do you want to break it down amongst, whether you want to be language, food, religion, whatever it is, a balance is what makes this country great, and the balance is being offset.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that.
There's too much. And look, everybody, if we live next door to, you fill in the country, I don't care. It doesn't matter if it's Jamaica or Germany. If California was becoming Jamaica or California was becoming Germany and people were saying, I think we should teach German in schools and I think we should have a German governor. I think we have German. I would raise my hand and say, look, I like Germany and I like Germans, but it's a little too much Germany here
Let's
for me.
Visit.
Let's slow it down a little bit. That's all I'm saying. And they would yell, you're a racist. I would say, what?
Well, you know what? It's interesting because I kind of like the culture. I kind of like going down to Alvera Street. I kind of like the guy selling the oranges on the car. There's something I enjoy about that.
Yeah.
But what I do not enjoy is teaching English as a second language. This is, in fact, America. You must assimilate. If they're smart enough to get across this border and are law-abiding citizens and learn this language fluently and prosper, I'm not having a big problem with that. It's that they bring their culture with them and don't change it and change ours.
Look, I remember 8 or 10 years ago we were debating over this. Should we make English a second language or should we have Spanish taught in the schools and blah, blah, blah. And somebody said, look, we're just going with English. And everyone started crying the blues and saying, you know what this is going to do? This is going to create a whole generation of it didn't. People learned English. Kids are pliable.
Sure.
Kids can learn. That's the time to do it. They immerse themselves in English. They learn English. And now we have a generation of people who can go out into the workforce and speak the language that is the language of the nation they're in. We need to take a break. I want to keep this going. We're getting tons of calls on it. You know my feelings. I'm interested in hearing yours.
You know, I don't know mine, though, completely.
Well, I don't know all of mine either, other than I do not want this country to become another country.
I agree.
And I do want our borders protected, and I want our laws enforced. Outside of that, I'm flexible.
Yeah, me too.
Now, you want to talk about who's going to pick the cabbage? We can talk about that next, too, because I have feelings on that. But 866-901-ADAM, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser.
I think we're all going to learn a lot on this adventure.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. And now a word from the man who knows everything, Program Director Jack Silver.
Time to kick the tires and light the fires, peeps! Today, the Ace Man steps in as your designated ranter. More internet weirdos peddling their worthless junk, and who the F sells this S? Around to rich man, poor man. And from America's top model and the surreal life, Janice Dickinson. Now, if you'll excuse me, Jack Man just got a very important email. Two girls, one cup. All right, mate.
Thank you, Jack.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What the hell is that?
866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. Yeah, we're talking about immigration, culture. Again, I'm looking at it through the prism of living here in California, and to me, I'm looking for balance. I'll give you an example. My step-grandfather's Hungarian. He's passed away, but he was a great cook, and I love Hungarian food. You would love Hungarian food as well, and everyone I used to bring to a place called the Hortobágy, Laszlo's Hortobágy, loved the Hungarian food too. There are no Hungarian restaurants. Laszlo's Hortobágy on Ventura closed down, and there's no Hungarian restaurants. There are 250,000 Mexican restaurants, and there are no Hungarian restaurants in Southern California. Now, I would like 200,000 Mexican restaurants and 50,000 Hungarian restaurants. That's where I'm coming from. I'm not talking about good culture versus bad culture. I'm talking about one culture becoming another culture instead of a bunch of little cultures. Okay, let's talk to...
But isn't that the theme of Melting Pot?
The theme of Melting Pot... Here's the thing. The melting pot is to have about 25 different types of cheese and all melt into one pot, not a block of Gouda that's 700 pounds and one slice of American on top.
You mean queso.
That's right. Bordele queso.
Queso.
All right. John?
Hey, Adam, how's it going, man?
What's your take on this whole thing?
By the way, kudos for the hanging up on Ann Coulter. That definitely gets my vote for the Ace Man Award.
Well, thank you.
but a couple points. First point is that, you know, the Pat Buchanan, it's scary to listen to this guy talk. He talks about sending Mexicans and immigrants back to their home country. I mean, one thing he doesn't end the first... My first point is that, I mean, he doesn't take into consideration all of our goods and services that have anything to do with cheap labor are going to be essentially... The prices are going to go through the roof because... The economics of cheap labor have already been absorbed into the price of the product.
Well, I have a couple things to say about that. I, as a former poor person who did poor person work along with all my poor person white buddies from the Valley, beg to differ. I think as long as there's poor people, there'll be cheap labor. I did cheap labor on a construction site. I did cheap labor cleaning carpets. I did cheap labor working at a McDonald's. And so did every one of my poor friends. We act like white people or whatever people other than Hispanic can't do tough work. This whole country was built on white people doing ass work. Oh, we can do it. Whoever is poor can do it. Now, I'm not going to argue that the price will go up, but the price of everything costs a lot. It's like, look, you buy a car. And the car should be $20,000, but it's $25,000 because there's $5,000 worth of junk on that car that keeps the air clean, that keeps you safe, that has to do with crumple zones and airbags and protections and all stuff that you may not want. It's the cost of doing business. That head of lettuce may go from 50 cents to a dollar. I'm willing to pay that. That's the cost of doing business. And I don't want to exploit people. I don't like the idea of guys working like mules in the hot sun. You know, we make this argument. Hey, who's going to pay more for your lettuce? Who's going to pay? What do you mean? You're saying you're willing to enslave a group of people at sub-livable wages?
Over
I don't think
lettuce?
That's very kind.
Oh, God.
And by the way, this whole thing, it's like, who's going to pay a buck for lettuce instead of 50 cents a head? Anyone who wants a salad. I mean, look at gas. Gas used to be 30 cents a gallon. Hell, I was alive when gas was 50, 60 cents a gallon. If somebody said, who's going to pay $4 for a gallon of gas? Everyone would have said, no, no one will pay $4. People who want to drive will pay. People who want to eat salad will pay. Yes, the price goes up, but that's the cost of doing business.
And I like your point. Why are we celebrating the fact that we can abuse laborers and pay them substandard wages and give them awful working conditions?
It's weird that the left is doing that. They're going, hey, we got all these dark mules coming in from across the border picking our salad.
We can
awesome.
Abuse white people.
Not that I was making a moral judgment at all whatsoever.
Go ahead.
But, I mean, and I think that really, I mean, the more importantly, instead of talking about, you know, building this fence and sending people back, I mean, with Pat Buchanan, instead of going on the radio talking about how much, you know, Mexicans are eroding U.S. culture, instead, if he really wants to solve the problem, he should be over in Mexico campaigning the Mexican government to quit being so freaking corrupt and allow more opportunity so they have less reason to come.
I agree, but here's the problem with corrupt governments. You asking them to stop being corrupt doesn't often get them to stop being corrupt. This is the problem. And look, everybody, it's pretty easy math. The folks that are coming over here aren't the best and the brightest. They're not the folks with the most money who are the most educated who are going to come over here, learn some words of English, and then become surgeons and attorneys. They are poor people. An economy can absorb a certain amount of poor people, but there is a saturation point.
Sure.
And I think we're slowly, or maybe more quickly, reaching that saturation point. Victor?
Yeah.
What do you have to say?
No, I was going to say that you're talking about building a fence, but the fence is not the problem. Just like the other guy before me said, the problem lies in the Mexican economy.
Sure.
And people don't want to leave their homes in Mexico. A lot of people come here, make some money, and go back. And they will continue doing
really?
That until they have an opportunity.
They might send the money back.
No. They send the money back, but they don't go back. They keep making money.
Back. Look, I'm Mexican. I was born in Mexico. I've lived here for 22 years, and that's what people do.
Well,
kind of
look.
Just pointed Adam's point. You didn't go back after 22 years.
Where are you calling
when
are
you
from?
Going back?
Look, I'm 24 years old. I've been here for 22 years. I'm American, man. This is my thing.
But look, Victor, let's at least agree on this. I'm not arguing with you that nobody goes back, but the vast majority of them don't go back. They send money back.
Do you really think that people want to leave their homes, leave their families behind?
If they had
the opportunity to feed their families in Mexico, they would stay there.
All right.
Nobody wants to leave their property.
No, listen, I agree with that. They have to. They don't want to. They have to.
Well, building a fence is not going to solve a problem.
Why isn't it?
Look, all it's going to do is it's going to make people get more creative on how to get around it. It's like they're arguing about a missile shield. You build a missile shield, they're going to build a better missile. That's true. That's the same way for.
Do you think we should have security at airports?
No, of course. Look,
why?
Listen,
well, people are just going to come up with creative ways to get bombs on planes.
Well, I agree that they should slow down. And I want people to assimilate. I don't want my culture, my countrymen to assimilate here and not turn this into Mexico. We have discussions in my house all the time about how people are just ignorant and they don't want to.
Well, Victor, do you have kids?
Way of life.
Do you have kids, Victor?
No.
Oh, okay.
I assume when you do, they will speak fluent and perfect English.
Yeah, they do. My parents, they speak fluent English, And I do, my nieces and nephews, they all do.
Look, I'll hold on a second. I'm putting Victor on
Did
hold.
Did anybody notice this is, that he doesn't speak
he
perfect
has an accent.
English?
Listen, this I'm is only not second a, generation. I speak English.
This is not a judgment thing. Look, couple of things. Everyone here is from somewhere else.
Right.
Right.
That's number one. I hate this idea like my great-great-great-great-grandfather came over on the Mayflower wearing a Klansman outfit. For the love
That's
of Christ.
That's how Pops Corolla got here?
he took it. He paddled a canoe from Italy in a Klan outfit.
Oh, yeah.
The great Giacomo, the grand poobah, grand wizard Giacomo Corolla
yeah,
came
hello?
Over here. I'm not from here either. Nobody is from here. So that's A number one. B, number two, yes, the economy is screwed up in Mexico. Yes, there's a corrupt government. Yes, it needs to be fixed. You guys don't like us over in Iraq. Should we go to Mexico? I mean, this whole idea of us going to different countries and fixing them, how much of that do we really need to do? I'm starting to think maybe we don't. Maybe it's up to Mexico to fix Mexico. Oh, we should lend a hand, but ultimately, if they don't want to change, they're not going to change. In the meantime, I do think building a wall, if not physically building a wall, at least spiritually and
legally.
Practically and legally building a wall along the border does stop people. Again, we do this thing where people just go, a wall never stopped anyone. Yes, it stops people from doing
all
things
time.
All the time. It's like saying a locked door never stops someone from going into a bank. Yes, it does.
Yeah. Remember those Kevlar guys?
Well, if the people really wanted to get into the bank, they would what? Well, they'd drive their truck through the front door. Right. And then alarm would go off and guards would show up and get them. This concept of a wall never stopped is borderline, pardon the pun, retarded. Walls stop people from doing things all the time. That's why they're so prevalent. I don't understand that thinking.
This particular wall is two things. One side of the wall, and it's one piece. Don't get me wrong in my metaphor. It's one piece. It's a giant thick cement wall. But how you know what is on either side of it and what people want is by there's one people on one side of the wall trying to get over it because things suck there. And at the middle of the wall on top, when they jump down, they've jumped down into a very tolerant, better society. So the wall itself is not just to stop people from climbing over and into our country and committing crimes. It's to stop people from running over this country that runs so much better than their own.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty easy math. Look, everybody.
If
we could remove the racial component of this, if we could get over, if people like Teresa Strasser could get over the fact that she agrees with Pat Buchanan
on some points
about
I did.
A topic, and if we could remove the politics from it and just agree that we're a nation and this nation is built on immigration, but it's built on legal immigration, and that especially in this day and age with the terrorist threat that we have, that we need to keep an eye on or need to know who is coming in and out. And again, to me, I'll give you guys a quick example before we go to break. When I try to figure out the answer to things, I go the opposite and say, would that be better? And that helps me arrive at my answer. And I'll give you an idea. I like cars. And I like looking at cars. And I think to myself, you know, there's nothing better than a hot rod or a sports car that has a big old back tire and a slightly smaller front tire and is leaning forward a little bit. It makes it look more aggressive, makes it look better. It's a stance. When you take a look at a sports car, a really nice sports car, you'll see it looks like it's leaning forward just a little bit. The front tire will be a little bit smaller, the back tire will be a little bit bigger, and the car will be leaning forward. But if you want to know if that looks good or not, we'll do the opposite. Now imagine that car with a bigger front tire and a smaller rear tire and it leaning backwards. Well, that would look horrible.
This is almost the exact way I troll for chicks.
I
swear to God.
That's because there's chicks in the trunk.
Right.
The point is if you do the opposite, you realize, oh no, the way I had it was right. Now, Right now, the border is porous. It's not wide open. It's porous. And we're talking about beefing up the border. Is that a good idea? Isn't it a good idea? Well, here's how we know it's a good idea. Let's go the opposite. Let's get rid of everyone guarding the border. Let's make the border wide open and not have a soul standing at it. You know, through Nogales or through wherever border crossing, boom, pull everyone out, leave it wide open. Is that better than what we have now? No, of course. Even the most liberal would say, oh, that's insane. We couldn't do that. Well, why not? And if it's insane, then if it's 60% guarded now and I'm saying let's go to zero and you're telling me I'm insane, then you're saying 90% right. guarded wouldn't be better? Go to the opposite of what we have. Do we want more? Do we want a larger Latino presence in Southern California? If we don't want more, then you do the math. Do we want a greater presence at the border? Or do we want a lesser presence at the border? I think we can all argue that we don't want to all just abandon the border and run away. Well, then do the opposite math. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T.
Yep.
Spirited.
Yeah.
No.
What's coming up in the news?
Don Imus went back on the air yesterday. I'll tell you what he had to say. And a former American Idol contestant had quite the weekend.
He is turning into like Annie Oakley. He is now wearing like chaps and spurs, and there's like he's sitting on a bale of hay. It is really, it's official. It's not a radio show. It's a hoedown.
It really
at this
is.
Point.
Oh, yeah.
We'll,
back to Imus. I'm sorry.
Yes, we'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back with the news next. Simply a
look can break. This is Jerry Ferrara, a.k.a. Turtle. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome to the Adam Carolla Show.
I walked into a major storm.
This morning, the super nutty supermodel Janice Dickinson returns.
I was incorrect to do it, but I'd still do it again.
A round of rich man, poor man.
Smoking cigarettes in the house.
Mm-hmm. The super rich, they have smoking rooms. And then the poor people will give their toddler drag off their Winston.
We'll scan Craigslist to find out who the F sells this S.
You're selling 8-track tapes?
John yeah. Denver's greatest hit.
Ooh.
Wow.
We've got Linda Ronstadt, something from the Partridge Family.
Oh!
And listen to the news with Teresa Strasser. And we'll all wonder if Danny Bonaducci is sober.
I always say the same thing.
866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Don't get him started. T.
I'm yep. getting about this close to sick of Dawson.
Yeah. Fall had a bong full, I mean an ass. Full of Dawson. Yeah. T.
Dude. Yep. I have to discuss with him.
The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
I waited for you, man.
Don Imus waited to return to the airwaves, and yesterday he did. He went on WABC in New York City and several other stations around the country via syndication. He had a live audience of a couple hundred, mostly white middle-aged men. As you mentioned earlier, he had on his familiar cowboy hat, jeans, and boots.
He has officially become the Marlboro Man. He really needs to just be wearing like a sheriff's badge and be wearing a holster at this point. Like he is turned. It's not a set anymore. It's the OK Corral. It's no longer a radio studio.
I never noticed till this morning. He's fat.
No, he's not fat.
Yeah. He's got a big old paunch going on. Unless it was a weird angle. Cause I remember thinking, well, I never thought of him as a fat guy, but his buttons were pulled apart. He looks fat to
his
me.
His face looks gaunt.
He's carrying saddlebags.
He's wearing saddlebags, yeah. Oh, he's got a duster.
Under his eyes.
Yeah, he just rode in from Abilene.
Well, Imus in the morning.
He's like, I'm really waiting for him to yell like Dag Nabbit and yell there's gold in them hills.
Happy Trails is the new theme song. Imus in the morning has a couple of new additions.
You better say your prayers, you flea-bitten varmint.
He shot a buffalo during the commercial. It's weird when somebody just becomes a cowboy at age 59.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you just go, F it. And by the way, what can we all look forward to? Like, I may be a grandfather and be like a Rastafarian.
Right.
Pirate, right there.
Pirate, right there.
Princess.
Princess,
can
astronaut? Yes. I mean, what are you going to go with? What is your theme going to be?
I miss that. I would like to be a princess.
Let me tell you something, T.
Yeah.
This is why it's a very slippery slope. Because when your buddy, the guy you like going out with, shows up and he's rocking some black cowboy boots or a cowboy hat, this is why you need to nip it in the bud. Because when you look the other way, it ends up gaining momentum. So the guy comes out, you pick him up on a Monday, he's wearing a cowboy hat. It's like, hey, what do you think? And you're like, it's an interesting look. Yeah. And thought about that. And he's like, yeah, not bad, huh? Covers my bald spot. And you go, yeah, all right. And you go out dancing. And then the next Monday, you pick him up, and he's wearing chaps and a cowboy hat. And he's like, what do you think? You need to say something. Because a year from now, he's going to look like Louis L'Amour.
And he's still going to go out dancing just to the YMCA.
Yes.
I ask what time he's coming over. He says, high noon.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you go to light a cigarette, and a whap! There's a crack of a whip, and it goes flying out of your hand.
So when most people say pulling an Imus, they mean saying something racially offensive. But when you say it, you mean taking a look too far.
Turning into a... Yes. You're pulling an Imus, turning into a cowboy, or sliding. And look, we all see it in our friends. They start to go goth, or they start to go, you know, romantic, or they start to go cowboy, or they start to go whatever it is. Your job is to nip it in the bud. Imus's friends, this is how I know he has no old friends, no real friends from the old neighborhood. Nobody, if I started rocking a cowboy hat and boots and a suede vest, Ray would beat the bejesus out of me. He'd call me half an F and say, we're not going out with you that way.
Right.
And thus the cowboy hat would stay home.
I have to say, in Danny's defense, I feel like his rock star pirate thing sort of works for him.
Well, I was going to say, that's how you have proof that I have no close friends.
Right.
I would never be able to dress like this.
That's right. I think it works for you. I really do.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead and be an enabler. Encourage you.
Keep doing it. Right. Okay, so Imus came back to the airwaves with a few additions to his lineup.
Mm-hmm.
There is a new female comedian. She is African-American. She was educated at Oxford University, and she has a background in journalism. She's his new sidekick, and there's a new black male comedian, Tony Powell, who will be doing the sports.
Who's kissing more black ass right now, Imus or Dog the Bounty Hunter?
It's a tough question.
What is the sport?
Very tough question. Well, you want to...
Tough call.
Here's Imus. I'll let you judge for yourself. Here he is in one of his many, many apologies yesterday.
I would remind myself that if I hadn't have said what I said, then we wouldn't be having this discussion, and I wouldn't have to deal with that. And the women at Rutgers wouldn't have to deal with it. So every time some event happened, or every time someone made some comment about what I had done or what I had said, I always remembered that it began with that remark.
That's funny radio. I don't know if you have this clip. I watched a whole show. Trouble later on when he accused the sports guy of cheating on a wager they had on some college football. Imus slid his chair back from the table and reached for the Derringer that was in his boot. Shots were fired. A couple of showgirls jumped over the bar and hid behind it.
I understand.
Hoss and Little Joe came running in and broke it up.
I understand the sheriff was called.
It's now an episode of Bonanza. It's no longer a radio show anymore.
Barbara Walters, you know, has that annual special about the 10
What's that have to do
people.
With the Old West?
I'm going to get to it.
She nips through it. That's what it has
the
to
Old
do
West
it.
When she interviews Don Imus. Now, that show won't air until Thursday, but I have a preview of her conversation with Don Imus.
Did you hire these people out of guilt?
No, I thought it was an opportunity to diversify the cast. Anybody who's on that program, because they're funny or smart. I suddenly find myself now in this unique position to present a better program, to never, ever say anything that would ever make these young women or anybody else regret that they forgave me and that they accepted my apology.
Now you have a new radio show, so do you have to be more cautious? Are we going to have a kinder, gentler Don Imus?
Well, I don't think so, no.
Well, then he asked for an apple and some sugar cubes for his horses.
And a lot of the horses. Yeah. All right. Listen, Barbara, I'm going to get on my horse. You get on your broom, and we'll go our separate ways.
I'm going to get on my horse. You get on your high horse.
Yeah. Well, what does Al Sharpton have to say about the return of Don Imus?
Hey, don't care. Hate him.
I know that the statements that he made, we will continue to monitor as we're monitoring others.
Uh-oh, he's monitoring others.
I don't want him monitoring anybody. That's
yeah.
scary.
And by the way, when he said others, he should have just said Whitey.
Right.
He didn't mean everyone.
Yeah.
He meant Whitey.
He didn't mean Steve Harvey.
Right. He didn't mean brothers. He meant others.
Now, do you remember...
He meant Whitey.
Do you remember Jessica Sierra? She was on American Idol.
Who?
She came in 10th place on the fourth season. I believe Carrie Underwood won that season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had quite the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Early Saturday morning, she was arrested for drunkenly causing a disturbance outside a bar in Tampa, Florida. After pushing and shoving the arresting officers, Jessica started talking some smack. Then on the way to the jail, Jessica offered a certain romantic favor of the oral variety to avoid going to jail.
Really?
This is according to the police report. The cop turned her down, so she began shouting, quote, F-U N-word at him over and over again, and then she threw up in the car.
By the way,
it's a rough weekend, man.
That would have been some rough oral if she's just going to throw up from going over a speed bump. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. That's why I could never be a cop.
Well, was he the N-word?
I don't like...
Well,
was he of the African-American persuasion?
Yeah, I mean, they're...
Yeah, it'd be weird to call Whitey one.
Well, as I've said, I've heard women yell, so suck my D.
Right.
At guys, they're arguing. When people get really sloppy drunk and really belligerent, they just get this sort of Tourette's and everything comes flying out of their mouth.
That's a good question. No word. Jessica was charged with disorderly intoxication.
Really? No word.
Violation of probation. I don't know. I have no idea what the race of this officer was.
That's a big issue for me. I mean, if the officer is black and you're using the N-word, that's horrible.
And if he's white, it's not?
It's not. No.
It is less horrible.
It's a tree falling in the forest with no one black there to hear it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, that just becomes sloppy, drunken, whatever. I'm not condoning the use of the N-word, but if you're using it against an officer that's black, that is a huge deal. And if there's nobody of color in that car, that's a much lesser crime and my offense-o-meter.
See, I got to go with Mel Gibson on this one.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
You can yell anti-Semitic stuff at a cop and maybe not die. But what if you're yelling made of sugar?
Oh, we got a delayed whatever
yeah.
there.
Well, they were sugar breasts.
You missed a very salient point that Danny just brought up, everybody.
What if?
According to Dawson, that almost never happens.
What if?
And we're going to chat, Doss. I'm not kidding with you.
Dude. What if... All right, anyway.
Don't even try.
All right, go ahead.
I waited
okay.
for you,
so,
man.
So I'll tell you what. I will look into the race of that officer, but here's what you can do in the meantime if you feel like it. You can watch some video of her on TMZ. They have surveillance footage of her while she was in jail, and it appears that she is also throwing up there.
I think that's why they don't get as many favors as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
The cops pulling over going, okay, I accept your deal.
Yeah.
Your offer's fine with me, because now there's surveillance everywhere.
Yeah.
I would, if I pulled over like a 7.5 to a 9 on the hot scale, and she said, listen, man, it was just, I've had one or two too many drinks. You can follow me home. Just let me give you a little, I'd go, okay.
Right.
That's why I would never make a good cop. That and 500 other reasons.
Hey, T-Bone.
Yep.
I wanted to say this about that. First off, there's officially too many former American Idol whoever's anymore, so I can't keep track of everyone. But this is the problem with booze. You see, when you get drunk, there's a certain percentage of our society that gets drunk and they black out and they essentially go insane.
Right.
We've all known these people.
Yeah, alcoholics.
Some of us have been those people.
Not necessarily alcoholics, although you can be an alcoholic. Here's my belief. These people probably are alcoholics, but you can be an alcoholic and not have the blackout gene.
Absolutely.
I've known alcoholics that just got drunk and passed out. Then I've known guys who didn't really have a problem with booze except for twice a year. And that twice a year, they would get loaded and they would get paranoid. And the next thing you know, they would get restrained. I mean, I knew a guy who trashed his USC dorm room, defecated on the coffee table, and woke up strapped down to a hospital bed. He was tied onto a hospital bed. He wasn't even an alcoholic. It's just he blacked out and he went bananas. Same guy did the same thing in Mexico when I was with him one time, which made for a very difficult situation. Point is this, booze does that to a certain percentage of society.
Booze the worst.
Booze does that. I don't think pot does, but booze does that. Now, this sounds like one of those cases. I will bet she does not remember an effing thing today.
Well, it's interesting. Before this bust that could land her 11 years in jail because she was previously busted for cocaine, she was on the VH1 reality show Celebrity Rehab with your friend Dr. Drew. Apparently.
Nice work, Drew.
She relapsed.
Mission accomplished.
It could happen to anybody. 96%
failure record. That ain't Drew's fault.
She said before she went on Celebrity Rehab, she thought that she had hit rock bottom before this last incident.
Kind of an out-of-body experience. I just kind of like looked around and I hadn't seen sunlight in 7 days. I hadn't eaten. I hadn't slept. I was literally probably rock bottom.
I'd like to name my next son Rock Bottom.
I
People
like
tell their
rock.
Story.
I'm gonna name my son Rock Bottomoff.
That's when I hit rock bottom. I like to punch my son.
One of the best expressions I ever heard in AA, though. The bottom is where you stop digging. You know, you don't have to really just keep going till you're dead and your family's left you. You can just stop digging whenever you want. And that's your bottom.
I would confuse people when I was talking about getting sober, going, when I hit rock bottom, that's when I knew I'd hit rock bottom. That's it. Yeah, I know. You just said that. And I go, no. When I started hitting rock bottom, that's when I knew I had a problem and I'd hit rock bottom. All right.
All right. That's it. Tracy Stone. One more.
Tell me about those Patriots.
All right. Didn't want to go late, but we'll tell you. After threatening to demolish the rest of the NFL with a perfect season of dominating wins, the New England Patriots have finally begun to stumble a little, needing fourth quarter comebacks in their last two games to squeak out narrow wins. Last week, it took a New England interception in the final 11 seconds of the game to finally seal their 31-28 win over Philly. And on last night's Monday Night Football game, New England quarterback Tom Brady had to throw a touchdown pass to Jabbar Gaffney with 44 seconds to play to preserve their perfect season. Let's hear the call.
From the 8, first and goal. Gaffney down here, bottom of the screen. Five options for Brady. The pump, the throw. It is caught for the touchdown by Gaffney. And New England leads.
Don't hit rock bottom just because the Patriots won again.
Yeah, that wasn't the play. It was like the five fourth downs. They moved the chains on a timeout, on an it's a confluence. All great winning teams, it becomes more than just them. It becomes a confluence of them making great plays, horrible calls, dumb luck. Meets like kismet and stars aligning. I mean, this game was over on five separate occasions. They had fourth down and they jumped off sides and they converted. They had fourth down. They didn't complete it, but the Ravens called the timeout at the last second. I mean, things you have never seen before in a season took place in the last minute and a half of this game. They all went the Patriots' way. And then, of course, they made a play. But it is almost like there's some divine force that won't let them lose.
The Ravens had at least four chances to win the game outright on any one play. And I thought to myself every time, like, Carolla must be going nuts.
Was there ever a moment when you thought the Patriots are going to lose?
Well, they went for it on fourth down and got stuffed, and the game was over. But it turns out somebody called a timeout.
No.
That game should have been over right there.
On the sideline, and then they went for it again, and their guard jumped off sides, and that should have ended it, too, because they just let the play go most of the time and decline it. But they blew the whistle on that one, and then they got a third down, or third attempt at a fourth down. I mean, it just kept going and going and going. Then there was a fourth down, and the ball was incomplete, but there was a flag. It was defensive interference, and even though the guy was in triple coverage, it is like there was a force that said, we will not let you lose this game.
I don't know who said it, but the sportscaster quoted, luck is the residue of design. It's a great quote.
It's Bill Simmons.
All right.
That really is the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right. Good news, everyone. Janice Dickinson.
One of my favorite people in the world.
Then this should be good. I saw...
Oh, I didn't say that.
I was watching her show yesterday, keeping a special eye out on Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency. Loved it. Compelling stuff. Janice, never at a loss for words, in studio next.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Who knows where we're going to end up next, but we sure did have a good time here.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
And all of them fine examples of California gold.
The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
I'm looking for models, so beware.
You're not going to find any here, sweetheart. From the Janice Dickinson Model Agency, Janice Dickinson on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Janice.
Hi, Adam.
I was watching a marathon of your program yesterday.
Why?
I enjoy reality TV, and I enjoy beautiful people on reality TV.
Then why isn't Danny on the show?
That's a very good question. Janice.
Or love it.
One of the things, I also watched her.
She
like,
doesn't have to wreck it.
I watched her E! True Hollywood Story, and I learned that she hates her dad and won't forgive him. And I love that
killed him.
I love that about her. Her dad was an a-hole.
He was a pedophile.
Really?
Yep.
And she recognizes him as that and doesn't forgive him. Why should she?
Well, he had sex with my older sister like on a daily basis, and I had to watch it. Not a good visual for a young girl.
And he's dead now.
Yes, he's dead. Yay.
Yay. What's wrong with that? I feel the same way.
Why shouldn't he go to jail? Why couldn't I have put him in jail?
I know. Look,
do you regret not having done that? Yeah, I told a policeman that he was like a filth monger, and they didn't do anything back in, what was it, late 60s, early 70s? Ouch. Thanks, Danny.
Mm-hmm. And so what is your story? What is your journey? So you grew up where? You grew up with this animal.
Yes.
In a small town of...
Hollywood, Florida.
Hollywood, Florida. And at some point, you decide to go modeling. At what age?
Yes, I was 14 years old. I was working in a pizza parlor, and then... Mm-hmm. God, I'm hot when I see Danny. Oh, I was working in a pizza parlor, and then it was the only thing I could do. I was tall, flat-chested, and everyone told me I... couldn't be a ballerina because I was too tall.
Right. So you wanted to be...
So the ballet teacher was beating me. My father was beating me. The nuns were beating me. Everyone was beating me. So I decided just to come to New York City and try my luck.
At what age?
Rather than become a prostitute, I became a model.
At what age?
Should have chosen the latter. Should have chosen the latter. Would have been smarter.
So you were what age when you come to New York?
I'm 53 now. So I got there in 1974.
Mm-hmm. And you're how old then in 1974?
17, 18.
And how does it work? You don't have, do you have connections?
I have $14 in my pocket. I had heard there was an agency named Eileen Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked into Eileen Ford's office, and she said, your look will never make it because you have two ethnic looks. I said, define ethnic, because I was like, what do you mean? She goes, well, you look like the N-word. And I was like, I do. Oh, do I?
Eileen Ford said that?
She said that. And because I said, you mean like Beverly Johnson, don't you represent her? She was the first African-American on the cover of American Vogue. Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, F you, and I'll make you eat your words. On the way out, I was like, you know, from my father being a racist to her being a racist, I thought, what a nice society I'm living in.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
it was tough.
Here's, if anyone's listening who's young and thinking about being a model and who wants to go into a model agency and they say you'll never make it, I would counter with, every single time I hear a supermodel talk about her beginnings,
right.
They tell me the story about where they walked into a model agency and the person told them they were too tall, too fat, too black, too white, too something. That's my, the point is I would use that and say, let's not let that happen to
right.
you.
Yeah, right.
Just by virtue of the fact we've had this conversation means I'm going to be a huge supermodel.
Exactly.
Now sign me up. So you go to another talent agency.
Well, let me just say
this. No, modeling agency.
Modeling agency.
If there is a person listening within the sound of my voice that would like to sleep with Janice Dickinson,
sign right
the
up.
Line starts behind
with the reality oh. show. I died.
Well,
I died.
He didn't, but
I died.
It was close.
He had it coming.
And
I got to say this about Janice. If it's true that everyone your partner slept with, you slept with, that's some pretty cool company.
Yeah. She's something about my heroes.
Who?
Sly.
He's your hero? Yeah. Aw. Jay, come on over here.
For me, it's John Lovitz.
Oh.
Also not bad.
He
hold
likes
on. Did you sleep with John Lovitz?
Oh, no. We
eat
kind
fresh.
Of got like a...
Oh.
Can I say that?
Yeah, I guess you can.
Well, you did it before.
You canoodled with John Lovitz?
Well, I kind of did it. He wanted to canoodle with you the whole time.
He's I love
a fan
John
of yours.
Lovitz. Oh, love him. So, all right.
Eddie
so you
Dick's
go you go to another you go to another agency.
I did.
And they sign you.
They did Wilhelmina.
Mm-hmm.
Wilhelmina Cooper. Wilhelmina was a gorgeous model. Herself.
And they were the biggest then, weren't they?
Well, no, Ford and Willie. But Willie wasn't as big as Ford because Ford was making the big money. They had Lauren Hutton and Cheryl Teagues.
And what happens with a young Janice Dickinson?
So I sat in her agency for about 11 months, not getting a job at all because everyone said my looks were too ethnic. My lips mm-hmm. were too full. Your lips look like the N-word. I was like, what's wrong with everybody?
This is
what's
New York, by the way, man.
Yeah, really.
What it's like in Selma, Alabama. So you don't get any work, but then what's the big break? When does it start happening
for
you?
The big break was when I had about 15 horrible photographs in my portfolio, which was like then the size of like an art photograph. Mm-hmm. On our portfolio. And I saw, and Lorraine Bracco came into the agency. She was hot, the woman from Sopranos,
mm-hmm.
Soprano fame. She was a big model back in the day. And I then mm-hmm. then looked at her and she goes, Jackie Silverstein, her boyfriend. Jackie, I like that girl. She had a Brooklyn accent.
Right.
And I'm like, what do you like about me? She goes, I like your smile. I like you got spunk. You'll make it with the French.
Did she drop an N-bomb at that point?
No, she was totally.
I didn't know she was a big model back then.
She was huge.
So
huge,
she
huge.
Takes, she decides you should go
she
to
did.
France and model.
She did, and I got a first class ticket to go to France. It was the first ticket. It was my ticket to freedom because mm-hmm. I was a poor person too.
Mm-hmm.
Like
so you.
You
go to France, poor. You begin modeling,
yes.
and that's when it takes off for you.
It kind of didn't because I didn't speak French, and the French hate Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And you speak the language of love, though.
Je parle français pas vraiment.
There's no Frenchman that's going to go, you know, you're an American and I don't like you, so let's not do it.
Skinny and hot is its own universal
yeah.
language,
yeah,
well, I would
man.
Argue.
Yeah, well, you get. You get this every day, don't you, babe?
Pretty much.
So you hang out. You hang out in France. You get your portfolio going. You get on the cover of some magazines.
Actually, no. I went in and stole food out of Peter Knopp, who was then the art director at French L. And I was stealing food because I was poor, broke, had no food.
Mm.
And there was a refrigerator. So I opened it, and there was some wine, and I drank it. And there was some cheese, and I ate it. And then there's a man who had no hair standing in back of me going, why you don't try the chocolate? The chocolate is very good here.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around. I said, okay, I might help myself a baguette, chocolate, and cheese, and red wine I was eating. And then he said, why are you here? I said, well, I really want to be a model, but I don't think this Knapp guy is going to help me out because everyone is saying that I'm too ethnic looking.
Mm-hmm.
What does ethnic looking have to do with anything? He was the guy. He was mm-hmm. Monsieur Knapp.
From French, yeah.
Yeah, he was a Swiss art director.
I feel like I would sooner read an issue of Cult Roundup, the gay magazine. Than French L. I'm trying to think. Like, that would be the worst dentist
hey,
office
I'm
ever.
So
French
sorry.
L over here, the Advocates
lesbian,
in the middle, and
the
Colt Roundup on the
me
left.
Over there. They love me.
So, let me ask you, how many English-speaking L's have you read?
None. But okay. The French, yeah, I would really be far off. So,
how many Maxims have you read?
You started. I don't read. I believe it poisons the mind.
You
I don't
do
like
too.
Other people's thoughts infiltrating my brain.
I don't believe you.
I don't
What's
read.
What's the last book you read, Adam?
I don't. The Phantom Tollbooth in 1973.
You're a liar! Why do you persist in telling me these lies?
You know what it is?
I don't
he's
read.
He's almost a savant with his hypervigilance and almost photographic memory.
Nice.
You would think he reads constantly.
Nice.
But now I've come to believe him that he does not. He just remembers everything.
I was just picturing Adam Carolla building my house during his poor construction days.
That I could do.
And I would be out there like in a, you know, fanning myself going, why don't you put the pipes in over here, Adam? Adam, why don't you come on in here and have a cold beer, Adam?
Oh,
I would
really?
Have been all over it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where were you when I was swinging a hammer?
Jollywood, Florida. But now I am with a man who is building his own houses, Joe.
Oh, really?
I am in love
now,
for the first
time.
You're
for the
love
first
now.
Time.
Well, sorry, Danny.
I walk in the goddamn door, and you say, are you finally single? And I get, yes, Amy was killed in a plane crash.
Stop it.
You say we can do it now, and now you've got a guy?
Well, he's nice. He's in, you know, we're
How
in love.
Did you meet this man, Danny?
In the dentist's office.
Really?
And? I was thinking of Danny in the dentist's office.
Mm-hmm. He was waiting in the waiting room with you?
No, he came out, and he just smiled at me, and I was, like, passed out because I was doing another show, Beauty and the Best, over in London.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like the girl that I was working with, though. Very nice. Abby Clancy.
All right. Hold on a second, Jance, because we need to take a break. I do want to hear how you met your man and in love for the first time,
yes,
you say.
I found contentment.
After all the men, all the celebrities, all the rock stars, nothing.
Millions in every country!
Now in love for the first time.
Yes,
Adam.
It's true.
Hmm.
I don't know anything about cars.
Mm-hmm.
Could you show me how to cut a brake line or even what one looks like?
Yes. Are we talking about the dentist?
Yeah.
Or the dental patient?
Am I in trouble?
Is he a dentist?
Danny would like to get
no, you've
rid
been
of
offering
man.
To have sex with me now for 5 years.
You know
and
what,
now you've
Danny,
got a guy.
You should
so
have had that.
Him.
Hello. Your wife did.
We'll take ourselves a break. Janice Dickinson in studio, the Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency. Good. Compelling stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adman.
I gotta say this.
That is your show.
Oh, God, love you. Not gonna change the world, but you wanna watch good-looking people going at it? Well, you got it. We'll take a quick break. Be back with Janice next.
Thank you.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, a look back at the 2006 ACE Award winner for Worst Guest.
Can you just tell your group of friends, I'm going home with this guy tonight?
Probably not, unless you prove to them that you're real.
I have another question for you. What if I... what is the worst thing you can do when you're trying to pick somebody up? What's the biggest mistake you can make besides not being real?
Deaf frat guy answers faster.
Yeah, be a one-upper, like I said before.
Be a one-upper.
Don't be.
Don't be one.
Yeah.
Who will take home the ACE Award for Worst Guest this year? Find out December 13th. The 2007 ACE Awards. On the Adam Carolla Show.
Christine Dolce, everybody. Dating expert.
Yeah, MySpace queen and dating expert.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
I learned a lot.
Don't be a one-upper. Oh, wait, do be a one... No,
no.
Don't be a one-upper.
I'm don't sorry. Be a one-upper, like I said before.
I'm a two-upper.
Beware of beautiful women who
well,
say
Janice
they possess
Dickinson
knowledge.
Is right here. She's beautiful and she's
I'm a man.
Coherent.
Yes. You have any dating advice for young people out there making the scene, Janice, as long as we're talking about it? You've been married 3 times.
Yes.
Now in love for the first time.
Yes.
What do you wish you could have told yourself? If you could have flown back, Janice Dickinson, what would you have said?
Do it all the time. Do it on top. Just do it.
Just do it.
Just keep doing it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's your dating advice?
Well,
keep doing it?
Well, back in my day, pre-AIDS, everyone else was doing it. Hippies, free love, burn the bra,
Was it? How much different was it sexually?
Roar, 714, I mean, 4, so, ooh.
Coke. I mean, how much do you miss lewds and free sex?
How about Pablo Escobar still sends me thank you notes? Jenny Stevenson has built the cartel for us. We do Johnny Stevenson Boulevard, and we do Johnny Stevenson Day, and we put her on the stamp because she is responsible for the entire export of cocaine for our country. We love her.
So then cocaine was considered something that wasn't really bad for you back in the day.
On the cover of Newsweek, they said, Time magazine said cocaine is good for you.
If you remember this, because you were swinging a hammer in the valley at the time, and I was just fading into has-beenness but could still get into good places. There was a time... where you could do blow at the table.
Yes, you could.
And nobody would care. You just
sit there and snort coke. No stigma. They would wear coke spoons.
Really?
Like little gold
coke
spoons. Yeah, people.
Little gold razors and stuff.
Oh, my God. It was cool.
When you saw that next to the Italian horn, you knew that dude was good to party. That's what you want. You don't want the high hanging off that thing. What you want is the coke spoon.
And the razor at a tray.
The Italian horn and the coke spoon and maybe the sign for Virgo.
And a some blinders.
Slide that onto some pukas. You know that guy's good to go all night. So this is pre-AIDS.
Yes.
Cocaine is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Especially in your industry.
Yeah, especially in Wall Street. It was in New York City. Yeah. It was Wall Street. Everyone was doing it.
And you're a beautiful woman, thus the cocaine is coming fast and free, yes?
The Playboys, when I used to arrive in at the airport in Milan, used to sit there with bags of coke, platinum watches, roses, to see which models were coming off the plane.
Really?
I, of course, gravitated towards the illicit devices.
And this is, again, pre-AIDS, so everything, it's just... do your thing. Let your freak fly.
I think the gay cancer had just hit back in 1979-ish.
Oh, really? That early?
From the steward.
I heard about it in 81 is what I...
79. I was in the heart of darkness, getting made up by all the makeup artists that were dropping flies with sores all night. It was bad.
If you don't remember.
It was bad. And they all went to the same gay bars in New York City and shared the same guy.
Remember, essentially, the lights went out on Broadway.
They did.
All the dancers, all the makeup artists, just everybody just dropped
they were all
like
my
flies.
Friends.
Oh, yeah, and your industry. I mean, here's the thing. I
what
was
about my industry? It was the steward that brought it over from Africa to begin with, and then
patient zero.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I worked in the San Fernando Valley in the construction industry. There's no one I knew who knew anyone who had AIDS.
Or that was gay.
Right. We'd never heard of...
gay.
I mean, we've never... no, it didn't affect anyone. We just had a bunch of poor Mexicans and a bunch of racist guys from Canoga Park all trying to get to the lake so they could ride their jet ski on the weekend. That's all we had. You had an industry where the makeup guys were gay, the hair guys were gay, there was a lot of gay photographers.
I was so lucky I cut my teeth with gay men, thank God. They discovered me because if it weren't for the great homosexuals out there, I wouldn't have gotten arrested.
Right. So you saw a lot of friends die.
Yes. I co-wrote Gia with Jay McInerney, which made Angelina Jolie a Golden Globe winner that year because I knew Gia, the lesbian who died of AIDS, and worked with her. She was
possibly
hot.
One of the best movies.
How do you think Angelina Jolie did in portraying her?
She did not depict her the way Gia was. Gia was gorgeous, and she wasn't crazy. She was just a street, tough lesbian chick from Philly who was hot.
Yeah. Well, Angelina, first off, I don't know the real Gia, but I thought that story was a great story.
Thank you. Jay McInerney and I live lavishly off HBO's ticket for 4 months. Thank you very much.
less than zero type.
Thanks, HBO.
So now you have a run where you're the toast of the town. Coke is free. Everyone wants to get in your pants. It must be great. I mean, there's two kinds of celebrity, and you had both of them.
Define the two kinds.
Well, there's a kind of celebrity you have where people know who you are and doors open and you get free stuff.
You mean like Nicole Richie?
Yeah, let's just say that. Or
yikes.
Let's go beyond. But then there's the kind of celebrity of just being desired by everyone who lays eyes on you.
Yes, but I've learned to live with it.
Now, girls that are beautiful that work as secretaries have that kind of celebrity.
That's hot.
But then there's celebrities. There's the aforementioned Angelina Jolie, who not only has celebrity, but she has the celebrity of being beautiful as well. That's what I'm saying. You had both those. You had the, we know who you are, and we'd like to F you even if we didn't know who you were. And coke is free, and there's no such thing as AIDS. So that must have been a good time to party.
It was a fun run. It was a fun hedonistic run for a minute, until it got me into big trouble, because I, like Danny, never knew when to stop.
Right.
We just kept going and going.
Do you believe, as I do, I have this sort of philosophical belief, and I know this sounds bizarre and
Rabbi
semi-retarded. Yeah, I'm not
Rabbi.
Jewish, but I have this
Rabbi.
Belief. I have this. The only thing that Dr. Drew ever told me that rings in my ear is there are no free lunches in nature. I believe
that
when the party gets out of hand, nature chimes in and shuts down the party.
Yeah, like
and
morning.
That's what AIDS...
the birds whistling you
that's what AIDS was.
Yes.
Nature
yes.
saw what was going on,
yes.
gay or straight, whatever it was, mostly gay, 99% gay, but nature took a look at this hedonistic environment we were creating
it
and
was
said,
in the Bible.
No more Coke and no more glory holes. We're shutting down the shop. And it got involved and it shut us down.
But there's still glory holes, right, Duke and Gabe? There's still glory holes.
Duke
Can
and
I
Gabe,
ask, they're my queens on.
Oh.
Get
oh, those
them
are
here.
Your
oh,
girls?
They're lovely.
Can I ask you about your man that we spoke of earlier? What does he do? Is he a civilian? Is he in show business?
Joe is a lighting architectural wizard who's now retiring from lighting everything from the Chrysler Building to the Alamo to all of Vegas to Roppongi to just about everything. You call
so
him
super
he's
high
the
end stuff.
Oh yeah.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, big time.
And he's going to call it a life and settle down with Janice Dickinson?
He's already done that. We have done that. We sleep together.
And you're married?
No, we're not married.
Are you going to get married?
He hasn't asked.
Ah.
Would you
that
like
means
him?
Yes, if he does.
I'm not thinking about the M word. Yet, mm-hmm. because I have Savvy and Nathan, and we're all just getting kind of used to one another coming in and out. For mm-hmm. example, last night Nathan came to dinner.
Those are your sons.
You. Savannah is my daughter. She's 13. She's uh-huh. lovely. Loves Danny.
Mm.
And my son is 20.
Yes.
Loves Danny. Uh-huh. They all love Danny.
Uh-huh.
As Adam grimaces. Nice face, Adam. He just grimaces.
Did I?
Don't you love Danny,
I was just
Adam?
Thinking grimace.
Don't you
I didn't know
love,
I was acting grimace.
Danny?
Yes.
Everyone loves Danny.
That's going to be the name of his next
You've
VH1 special.
You've
got to
let him go to Australia, dude. You've got to let him go.
Yep.
He's got to go.
So now your own family, your daughter
yes.
and your son, 13
yes.
and coming up on 20.
20. Oh,
how's the relationship
man,
going
it.
There? You had a rocky relationship with your father. Did you make a lot of the same mistakes?
I'm a screamer, and I'm angry, and I'm working on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, for example...
Well, your son's on your show.
He is, because he has to work. He wants to be a film producer, so he has to earn some money. I mean, I'm tired of just... And he looks at me and goes like this, and I'm like,
rubs
no.
Rubs his grubby no. hands together and wants mommy's cash.
No, he wants, I'm the driving wallet.
When they're in therapy in a few short months, what will
I
they be...
I doubt that they'll go.
What will they be saying? When they're forced into therapy by
my
the courts, what will they
Coke
say?
Ho. Who knew Danny Bonaducci? And she rocked it. I mean, I don't let them read my books. They don't like watching television with me with them on it. They just choose not to. They don't like me. I'm not Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. I'm the loudest soccer mom that ever lived.
What is your hope for, let's say, your daughter? She's 13. Would you like her to go into modeling?
No.
No.
No,
what
she
would
doesn't.
You like her?
Fortunately, she chooses not to, and I'm down with that.
For you, it
I wanted
was,
to be happy.
You didn't have much choice.
No, I had to do it.
You had to get out of that town you were in.
Yes and no, because when I saw Lauren Hutton sailing across the pages of American Vogue, shot by the late, great Richard Avedon, I wanted to be in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be in the photograph, because I love looking at photographs.
Do you ever come across any of the fellas you had a little fling in or with back in the day and have weird little moments or
oh, I
winks
do.
Or nods?
I saw Warren Beatty the other day and he just wagged his finger about me.
Oh, really?
He just wagged his finger at Janice, the world is listening.
Janice,
they're all watching. And he comes up and he goes, what do you know? And I'm like, what do I know? Well, what's such a great thing to say to somebody? What do you know?
I just think it's funny that Warren Beatty's wagging his finger like, what do you know? It's like, Warren,
really,
what do you know anymore?
I knew that you were a great lay.
He was great.
Was
God.
He good? I wanted him to be good. Was he good?
Oh, he's fabulous.
Have you ever done it with the tan guy?
George Hamilton.
George
no.
Hamilton. Oh, I love that guy.
Why?
Because
you're so
nice.
Narcissistic and you like narcissism at
he's
its finest.
He's just so nice
he is
and
a nice
cool.
guy. He's
I just
a nice
thought
guy.
Maybe if he was a great lay.
You've never
awesome.
Done it with Hamilton.
No.
But the day is young, yes?
Well, I don't choose him because I'm happy with Joe. I'm snuggly with him, you know, at the moment.
She's in love. She's never been in love before.
All right.
I'm not a dating
Can I ask quickly about a guy that you
yes.
worked with? Tyra Banks.
Mm.
A guy that I worked with. Yes, Tyra is a man.
What do you think of Tyra?
Yeah. You're very honest, and I like that about you.
We didn't get
Kiss
along.
My
we...
fat ass! She said that?
Yes.
I probably said it to her, and it is fat.
I feel like she has a personality disorder, not the kind that you and Danny have, which is likable.
I think she's righteous.
You, what do you think of her?
I think she's righteous.
What's that mean?
Righteous. She's she always has to be right, and she always has to look good. Mm-hmm. She's, I am righteous, and you are not going to make it because you won't make it because I didn't. You got to be like this. And she has everything retouched. Mm-hmm. It's like those photographs are retouched to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not what people look like. I mean, I don't look like this in print.
There are parts of her I would not retouch. When her ass grew the size of Wyoming, mm-hmm. I wouldn't retouch it.
I thought you liked that.
No retouching.
Yeah. I think she's a beautiful woman.
She's beautiful.
It's her 10-cent brain that I can't deal with.
No, it's her 25-cent ass.
Her concern for her models, to me, seems inauthentic. How about her not ever feeding the crew or paying her writers or just not even offering anyone a beer? I mean, how about just, it's all in it for me. Her trailer was the size of three city blocks, and the five of us had to squeeze into, like, this hitch thing, the U-Haul at hitch thing.
Yeah.
I was like, where's my trailer?
Diva. Hey, Janice Dickinson, we need to take a break, but
again?
I will tell everyone to watch Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency.
Thank you.
Third season premieres tonight.
Thank you.
And like I said, I must have seen four episodes. I think they ran a little mini marathon yesterday in the afternoon. I could not stop watching.
No.
10:30 p.m. Oxygen Network. When we come back, we will play a round of Who the F Sells This S. We go to Craigslist. We find a bunch of super low-rent people. Here's a guy selling telephone cords for $4. There's somebody else who's selling a Hanukkah menorah.
Oh, I need one. Can I buy that? It's Hanukkah tonight.
44.
Oh, happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Different colored condoms, candles. $4. $4 for the, $4 for the menorah, T. Maybe we can do that.
This Janice Dickinson, as pretty as you think she is, she's prettier. Thank you.
Stop it. Plus, she's
Danny,
everything.
That's what I said to anybody. Don't stop it.
She is everything you would want in a woman. She's articulate, she's smart, she's successful.
Thank you.
And she will sit at your dining room table in a very short skirt and throw her right leg up on the table.
I saw Sam Rubin the other day. Wait a minute. I said, what about that night at the Danabucci dinner?
Danabucci,
yeah. He goes, I like that Danny. I like him a lot.
I saw Rubens for JJ once.
Yeah,
he wasn't wearing underpants. He's wearing a shirt. It was the summertime. It was appropriate.
What was it like down there?
Cheese landing strip.
Yikes!
Here's a cheese cutting board for $3, everybody. All right.
Stop it.
We will call these people next on Who the F Sells This S.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser, where it's time to scan Craigslist to find out who the F sells this S.
Adult novelty DVDs. What do you mean by novelty?
It's really porno.
Oh, I see.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Sorry, sir, but I don't look at porn as a novelty. No siree, Bob Dixie.
I said good day!
Yeah, we just noticed that if you hang out on Craigslist long enough, you're going to see stuff being sold that really shouldn't be bought. Well, probably shouldn't have been bought in the first place, but if it was, it certainly shouldn't be resold. And this is near and dear to my heart because there is nothing that the Carollas won't use that has already been used by somebody else. We will buy ice cube trays. My mother routinely buys mugs and will bring them over to my house. Hey, got you a bunch of mugs. Now, there's a couple of things I can't understand. I'm no clean freak,
right. But
I do like to think of myself as just sort of practical. And there are places called the IKEA, and there are places called Target.
Smart and Final.
And they're Smart and Final. And you can go to IKEA and for $4 get six coffee mugs. How much cheaper does it need to be than that? How much less than a dollar does something need to cost? And this mug that has the permanent ring in the middle, that permanent black ring, I assume was owned by some meth-addicted racist trucker. It rolled around his cab for several hundred years, and then he died of emphysema. And now I'm drinking my Morning Joe out of it.
Always nice.
I don't mind buying a used car, and I don't mind buying a used house, and I don't mind buying a used tool, but when it comes to certain items, the kind of things that go on you or where things go into them, and then that thing goes into you, forks, knives, flatware, mugs. As I famously said, my sister drank out of a urine specimen jar for many years until we discovered that was not just some weird graduated clear mug, and in fact, it's what they used to collect the urine in. Well, they collected urine in it 100 years ago, and she probably collected apple juice in it for about 2 years.
I was just wondering if she's ever had any of mine. I filled those babies for years. I have filled more jars than Kraft.
I'd have to dust her gullet.
And I don't think you should do it.
I will do that. We have items such as perm rods for $1. I don't even know what these things do. I guess they go in your hair, and again, I'm holding it up. I know this is great radio, but things that people have already put in their hair, not so interested in that. There's a cheese cutting board for $3, adult DVDs, $5, 22-ounce canned Pedigree dog food. There's a case of that, $7. How would your dog feel? Yeah, but would you do that for man's best friend, buy him used dog food? 41-cent stamps, $5.
Used dog food is poop.
That's a good point. And then the other problem is you have to interact with the guy who thinks it's a good idea to sell a Santa Anita windbreaker for $1.50.
Aren't we about to do that?
You really want to head down to that guy's apartment? Yes, we are about to do it.
Let's find out who the f*** sells this sh*t.
I like the stuff that was never bought.
Oh.
Two never-used Cigar Aficionado magazine tote bags.
Tote bags, not the magazines.
This is a tantamount to me selling my Sports Illustrated football phone.
They give it to you for
free.
To
you, yes. You get it when you sign up for Cigar Aficionado.
Why not turn it around for 40 cents or maybe 50?
As a matter of fact, I'm sure at some point this young entrepreneur announced to his young bride, all I have to do is sign up for another 2,000 subscriptions to Cigar Aficionado, sell these tote bags for $3 a pop, and I'm rich. Until she points out that it's $49.95 per subscription. All right, we got a little Hanukkah musical mug.
Ah.
Tea.
How does that work?
How does it work? How doesn't it work, dude? See, when I don't have an answer, I just turn the question.
He's right. You can drink
mug?
Out of it. It sings to you.
It's a cute Hanukkah gift. It's a ceramic musical mug that plays the dreidel song.
Oh, that's delightful.
CT, you don't need that because we hear that in our head every time you walk into the room.
Yeah, it's kind of my theme.
That's right. Ba-da-da-da-da. Hitler's wartime. Wow, we got a theme. Hitler's wartime picture book, everybody.
Oh, there's something.
Hey, I got kids. I want to teach them about the one with the mustache who thought the Jews should go in the ovens. And I could use them. Hitler's wartime picture book, $7. Gay adult magazines in good condition from the 80s to the present, $1. Now here's what I'm thinking about. Certain items on these Craigslist. These are just thinly veiled excuses to pick up on people. There's got to be some gay code out there that I'm not aware of. Bill, let's be honest.
I was just thinking that same thing. I was thinking, what DVDs can I put on there to meet someone?
Yeah, because
the Craigslist.
The brown bandana's gone the way of the dodo.
I think it was blue or pink.
This is...
It's gone the way of the dodo? You mean I have to pull it out of something?
You have to pull it out of the dodo. It means you're dodo active if you have a brown bandana.
But on Craigslist, when we first looked at it, there's whole ads for people who want to meet people that want to go the way of the dodo. You don't have to trick them.
It's an interesting point. But
nice to talk to you.
Some of this stuff, I know what you're saying, but it just feels like this is like, I feel like some sort of World War II American Indian code breaker or something with this stuff. When I hear guys selling gay porn for $1, isn't that just to know there's a gay guy? And by the way, when you purchase gay porn, do you think you send your straight friend to go pick it up? Hi, I'm Stan. I'm a substitute school teacher. I have three kids. I got a beige minivan out there. I'm here to pick it up for my friend Rex. A gay guy shows up, right, Bill?
Porn from the 80s means that he's over 40.
Uh-huh.
And that he's very promiscuous because he's got all that porn. So come and get him.
Right.
That's what that means.
Well, what
over
is the...
40, Come and get them.
What about the musical menorah mug?
I'm not sure.
I want to know what the code means.
Now, Bill,
I'm pretty sure we all know what the code means.
Circumcised. Good.
Let me be honest here. Or you be honest here and tell me how this works.
I'll take you down to Guy Ritchie's Dodo.
Dojo. So there's some 50-year-old queen, and he's standing there in his apartment in Santa Monica, and you come sidling up with a dollar in your wallet, and you're there to buy some gay porn. Now, if he thinks you're a pig, he'll say, hold on, slam the door, go get the gay porn and hand it to you. But if he thinks you're hot, you're going to hear this phrase pass his sweet gay lips. Do you want to get high?
Absolutely. And you don't know what that means. It could mean two things. Because that could mean meth. Yeah, for the gays, it could mean meth.
Mm-hmm.
And it could mean a pot. So it could mean either one, but you don't know which
either
one.
Either way, it means fluids exchanged, right?
If he's putting his wife beater over the shoulder as mm-hmm. I enter the door and he's saying that, that means meth. If he says he wants to get high.
Really?
And he does a little action, that mm-hmm. means meth.
That's mm-hmm. weird.
And we're going to have sex within minutes.
I feel bad.
Seconds.
Because I always think of myself as the kind of expert here, but I missed meth.
Mm-hmm.
I was heard you couldn't really do it on meth.
Mm.
You can't finish, but you can do everything else.
Okay.
You can start a thousand times.
I would rather die.
All right. We also have an earring holder becomes art. It's a rack. It's 12 by 18. It's $5. Hmm. You hang your earrings on this, and it turns to art. Is she on the phone, by the way, Mike? All right. Let's talk to her. Meredith?
Oh, yes,
Mary Beth. Sorry.
Yes.
Mary
Hello.
Beth. Hi. How old are you?
37.
You sound like an older soul than that. And you're selling this. Now, was this a gift? Did you buy this earring holder?
Oh, no. This is junk from a friend.
Junk from a friend.
Nice selling pitch.
Somebody gave it to you, or you took it from a friend?
Yes, I sell for people.
I see. What's your cut on the $5? And by the way, if you're asking $5, you'll probably get $3.75. Right. What do you get, 10%?
No, on these items, I actually get 50%.
50% is the vig on the earring holder. So if
it
you
is.
Sold, for instance, you know, again, it doesn't sound like much, $4 here, $4 there, but eventually you have $11.
Yeah.
And now
it's
we're talking.
Yes, and it's the fun of selling.
Totally it's a rush.
It. I love selling on eBay. I love selling on Craigslist. And
is this what you do for a living full time?
Put it up there.
I'm the same way. For me, it's base jumping and selling earring holders on Craigslist.
No,
those are my two vices.
Coming from that could be exciting. Is this how you support yourself full time?
Yes.
It's 100% pure adrenaline. You saw that Swayze movie, didn't you?
Yeah.
You want to talk about a rush?
It's in the X Games now, right?
Mm. Yes, and if you look, I did a new listing just for you because I knew I was going to be on, and I wanted you to get the full three photos of this item.
What is it?
Well, it's actually, it becomes art when you hang your earrings on it, and it's a picture frame that
right.
you can put on the wall,
mm-hmm.
and every time you take your earrings off it, it becomes a work of art, and every time you put your earrings on it, it becomes a different work of art.
Right.
Right.
But art, I mean, your dresser becomes a work of art when you throw change on it at the end of the night by your logic.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And this actually has a
place
for you to put your name on it and the date that you created it.
Uh-huh. That would be the day I committed suicide. And how many pirates do you think are out there on Craigslist who need this? Because I don't know people that have so many earrings that they could create pieces of art by hanging them onto this grid. It's a 12 by 18 inch screen door, essentially, you hang on the wall, and then
yes.
you hang your earrings on that.
Yes, you would be surprised what people call for.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a place, I tell you, it is a place for people to come and rummage through your garage. A lot of people like to do that as well.
Well, aren't you worried that they'll rummage through your garage and then they'll pull a knife out and rummage through you in your
yes.
entry hall?
No. I don't
I don't want to be rummaged
far.
Through. Yeah. That's my feeling.
I don't take it that far. And actually, there's a whole scam on Craigslist where these people from other countries get your listing, and then they offer you cashier's checks.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Uh-huh.
I've heard about it. It's very, very common because the bank takes the cashier's check
mm-hmm.
and then
exactly.
later finds that it's false.
So you're
and
telling
they,
me
yeah.
you could get burned by by this grift and be out $4.
Wow. Exactly. And that would really hurt.
And as I've said, it's not only for the earring, it's not only for the earring hanger. I'm sure there's some coffee mug she has on there, maybe used frisbee. Before you know it, you're looking at $8, $9.
Well, what's your most expensive item for sale?
Right now I have a few items on eBay. I accidentally bought two copies of the My So-Called Life DVD. And so instead of returning one and paying for the shipping, I decided to try out the American Spirit and put it on eBay and see if I can get more for it than what I paid for it.
Well, we were just discussing during the commercial where we could find copies of My So-Called Life. And I think now we know how much.
We realized at home.
Right.
Well, my item is actually up for $30 right now, but there's still four more days for my auction.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to support yourself not only selling your own mistakes, but selling other people's mistakes? Are you able to do this?
Yes. I'm actually a school teacher, so it's not my full-time gig, but I do enjoy it on the side. It's a rush.
I'm not sure how I feel about you molding youth. Oh, it's definitely established it's a rush. This is no different than big wave riding.
Exactly.
Or parasailing or riding a bull. It's really the same.
I have a snow globe up for sale. I have bronze.
That's her Pamplona.
Yes, and I have the best is my bronze silverware set from Thailand, directly from Thailand.
And yeah.
It's like goldware set.
As if Thailand is synonymous with quality.
Well,
This airplane was made in Thailand, everybody. Oh, it'll never crash.
I think T and I were looking at each other off brass silverware. Can you have brass silverware or do you have brassware?
It's bronzeware, actually.
Yeah. Interesting.
So you don't have silverware.
In a super boring way. Mary Beth.
Yes.
Are you a single gal?
Yeah.
Hold on. Shocking.
I don't need anyone. I really am fine.
They don't need you either, baby.
I'm enjoying my eBay. I'm a single
hold on. I don't want this Craigslist to become your vibrator.
Wait a second.
So you never leave the house. What's going on? Hold on a second. Yes, I want to do some radio math.
Yeah, I want to first the cats.
Let me explain.
Wait, the kitties.
Hold on. Let me get my calculating machine out and put my green visor on.
Right.
Advertising a screen door on Craigslist for $5. That's 10 pounds. Oh, doing it for a friend. Let's make that 15 pounds. She has flatware coming in from the Philippines. Let's call that 20 pounds. Single, 30 pounds. Substitute school teacher, 80 pounds.
Substitute makes you 80 pounds overweight.
Sorry, buddy. School teacher, 80 pounds. Cats, lives alone. Hold on, let me just tally this up. 2,700 pounds. I give or take. There's always 8 pounds one way or the other for air. Meredith?
Yeah.
You must be morbidly obese.
Well, you might, this is only radio, so, and I'm completely anonymous on eBay, and no one can... no one
hemming.
Meets me. I send out my products. My name
How much?
Is J Box, J B O X E D.
Does it start with a 4?
And no.
3.
You're a big gal.
No, I didn't say that.
All right. Now look, I heard it. We need Mary Beth.
Yeah.
You're 37, for the love of Christ, baby. 37. Yeah. A young woman.
Yes.
You should be out meeting people who don't want to buy junk from you.
Gallivanting.
Yes. You should be having your underpants rummaged through by young, attractive men, not your garage, by loners.
I'm okay, believe me.
Okay. Okay. It's not okay enough. You're
having
fun.
I'm having fun with my eBay.
Is that another word for the rabbit?
This is going to move me into bigger and better places.
Oh, sure, yeah. It starts off $5 here with the earring holder, but before you know it, you're selling things for $9. And then before you know it, $12. And then the next thing you know, you blink your eyes and 200 years goes by, and you've made yourself $20. Maribeth, what kind of life is this?
I can look back on this, and I can put it in the bank, and I will be set for life.
Yeah, you'll be set for life if you marry a guy who makes $14 an hour, according to your math.
Yes,
how about you get...
Don't tell Tom Likas about me either.
Don't you want love, Maribeth? You know what I feel like? I feel like you're using Craig as a substitute
Craig's
suitor.
Her boyfriend.
Yeah, Craig is your boyfriend.
But Maribeth, Craig can't hold you at night.
Well,
with his list.
How is Craig making any money off of all this?
Craigslist?
I don't know, but let's not change the subject.
Yeah.
When is the last time you had a date?
You know what? I better get going because the kids are going to come in and
all of
that good stuff. So
kids meaning the 22 cats?
Yes. My 22 cats are meowing at the door.
Mary Beth, we're here to help. This is Just Tough Love. We're saying the things your friends won't tell you, that everyone in the teacher's lounge thinks but won't say. You work in a school. There's tons of young, good-looking guys that work alongside you. How about a date with one of them?
You know what? I'm, like I said, Craig and eBay and I, we're fine.
Promise me this. You think you're having a three-way with Craig and eBay. Meanwhile, the years are ticking on, and we know you love children. What about your biological clock, and is that for sale too, sweetie?
No. That's where the cats come in.
How many? Listen, I have two. How many do you have?
No, I love your show. Thank you,
Answer
guys.
The question.
Uh-oh. All right. Maribeth, will you promise me this? Promise me that you'll put a personal ad out on your beloved Craigslist.
Why not?
Oh, I've seen those. I'm perfectly fine, but thank you so much.
All right. What? By the way, what's the hot lunch today? Pizza, fish sticks, corn dogs? What do you guys
Probably
got?
Probably something healthy like that, yes.
Okay.
It's a healthy version of that.
Now. All right, Maribeth.
Thanks for talking to us.
All right.
Bye.
Have fun in purgatory.
Bye-bye.
Good times.
Turkey corn dogs.
Maybe she really
Still
is happy with her
right.
eBay and her earrings
and
her Craigslist.
I know people that are really fulfilled with that kind of stuff. They love it. I'm not one of them, but I know people who really love that stuff.
Just picture New Year's over at Mary Beth's house.
Mm.
Very sad.
You and 22 cats wearing hats.
Popping the champagne and going like, Mr. Mittens, I poured you a cup.
Mr. Mittens, I put some champagne in your kitty ball. No? No tankers?
Let's watch the ball drop, everyone.
I got giblets flavored champagne. They only sell it this time of year to lonely broads.
I'd buy some. Just got to check it out.
I got a used noisemaker off eBay last year. I'm going to blow into it.
I
this
ordered
be
out
awesome.
For Chinese. I got some sweet and sour kibbles for you. Come on, socks. Mommy loves you.
Socks.
There's
done.
Look out. The ball's dropping on Dick Clark.
And he can't get out of the way.
Oh, no.
Happy New Year 2006.
And that was in 04.
Dick, you better move. Nine. Dick, come on out of the way. Let's have the ball.
All right.
Dick, really.
I'm going to kill myself. Hold on quickly. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm all out of love, brother. I know you're selling some phone lines and what else are you selling? Selling a menorah?
I've got the menorah and the tote bags, too.
Yeah, you're not doing anything to help the stereotype of selling your used menorahs.
What? No, this is a brand new one.
Oh, really?
Oh,
wow.
No, brand new comes with 44 colored candles.
T needs a new menorah.
Yeah.
She's so Jewish, she wore her last one out, staring at it.
I forgot to get one this year.
Yeah, they wear out after a year. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could do a little business with you, Mike.
Sounds good.
You're in West Hollywood?
I'm in West Hollywood, in WeHo.
Mm-hmm.
Describe this menorah.
Describe it. It's just a basic metal menorah. It's nothing special at all. It's just a basic thing to light candles in. It's nothing...
What a way to celebrate the victory of the Maccabees.
He's gay! Way to undersell your menorah, dude. Yeah,
this is the best time of year to put it up. Nobody's been interested in it.
Hey,
well,
Mike.
We may be interested.
Yeah. Danny has himself a brand spanking new Honda 2000.
Uh-huh.
He,
2006 speed, thank you.
Loves the fellas. We're right next to West Hollywood. Perhaps we dispatch him on another menorah run?
Let me tell you something. Danny's hot, so if he wants to pop over, that's...
You're going to be home?
Can I ask you a personal question?
If Danny's coming over, I'll be home.
This is Danny right here. like, when you say Danny's hot, do you mean, like, funny and entertaining, or do you find me physically attractive?
Well, no, I'm to be honest with you, I'm straight, but Danny, I used to watch you as a kid.
No bummer, dude. So, this is going to get good.
So I thought you were hot.
Ass kicker.
I thought you were hot back then, actually.
Listen.
I thought I would make out with this guy and drop the price of the menorah.
You are
ass kicker.
You are selling a brand new corner caddy for a bathtub shower for $4 from West Hollywood.
Yeah.
The lowest you can go is buy. Straight is not an option. You can either be gay or bi.
Now, if I told you what I did last night, you'd say I wasn't, so I can't really talk
about it.
Wow. Oh, I'm intrigued.
No, there's a lot of straight guys who live in West Hollywood, believe it or not.
Yeah,
sure,
who
have sex with fellas.
I've got an earring in the left ear, so.
He's gay,
right,
please.
A penis
please.
In the right.
Mike, please be a Gentile. All right,
Mike,
we're
putting you on hold, Mike.
Get
Danny's going to go get your menorah. Get that menorah out and dust it off.
I'll tell you, it's going to be clean as a whistle.
And by the way,
if so alive, you know what I mean.
If you hadn't stashed a hooker corpse, now's the time, because Danny's coming over and he's going to pick up the phone and tell us all about it.
Freezer, so that's not a problem.
You can tell he knows me. If there's a dead hooker, I'll just step over her to get the menorah.
That's true. He doesn't judge.
Can I get the candles, too? Did you say you have candles?
He has 44 different colored candles.
I'll take those.
This guy's going, man. We're buying.
44 shades of light blue. All right, Danny, hit the road. We'll take ourselves a break.
Give me an address and I'm gone, man.
Give him an address. He's in West Hollywood, so it's probably, can't be more than 3-4 miles from where we are. Let's do that. We'll take a break. When we come back, I think we'll play a round of Rich Man, Poor Man. Yes? Yes, haven't played that in a while. All right, Danny, hit the road. We'll check in with you. We'll play Rich Man, Poor Man. You'll pick us up a menorah, and we'll be in business next.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very happy and a merry Christmas to you. To make it really happy and merry, make sure you drive safely and carefully. There's nothing merry about a crash.
Happy holidays from the Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Rich Man, Poor Man is the game we've been playing. These are things the very rich and the very poor share.
Call in with yours at 866-901-ADAM on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I dig that song. All right. I don't know how we came up with this. Actually, I do know how we came up with it. I was sitting over at Kimmel's writer's table many years ago, before they were on strike, and I thought, outdoor shower. I said, if you got an outdoor shower, you're either super rich or you're super poor, and then I started thinking about all the other things. Speaking of outdoor, how about a washer-dryer outdoors? That's another super rich or super poor. If you're super rich, you have a pool cabana and it has a guest house and they have that out, you know, there's that washer dryer sort of thing. And if you're poor, it's just rusty and there's raccoons living in it and it's on your porch. Rich people and poor people collect things. The middle keeps moving. We have an intro. Shall we hear it?
Rich man. Poor man.
866-901-ADAM, Rich Man, Poor Man T. You have yours.
Yeah.
I have mine, but the people calling in have theirs, such as Mark from Los Angeles. Mark?
Hey, Adam, what's going on?
Not a lot of. What do you got?
Well, I've got STDs, more specifically herpes, because you've got Derek Jeter, Paris Hilton, perhaps even Jessica Biel, and then you've got Cecil, the guy on the loading dock who got it from a $2 hooker on Sunset.
Wow.
Mark's on to something.
Yeah.
A lot of celebrity herpes cases have been reported recently.
Mm-hmm.
Including the ones he mentioned.
Yeah. Very good. I feel like I'd take my chances with Beal, though.
You would.
I'd take that one for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got that bit of news from Lynn and Alex.
Yeah.
They reported it here that her assistant was out buying the, or Cash Warren's assistant was getting the herpes medicine.
I'd be like, hey, Jessica, no kissing because of the... But I will accept oral.
Here's the news. I think you can catch it from kissing.
That's why no kissing.
But I think... I see.
You can get it from oral?
Yeah.
But here's my thing. If you do get herpes, how would you rather get it?
I see.
And that's the way I look at
if
it.
If you're going to get it...
I want it from oral.
No kissing, just oral. Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want that baggage. Hey, Mark?
Yeah.
Plus, it's a pretty good story. Like, normally when you have a herpes sore, you try to cover it up.
Yeah.
I'd be walking around holding a flashlight up to my face.
Hoping people would ask.
Hey, Corolla, where'd you get the shanker? Well, thank you for asking. You know the super hot actress Jessica Biel? Mm-hmm. Well, that's where I got it.
Or is it Jessica Alba? I get the two of them confused.
Either way, Simpson, line them all up.
I think it's Alba.
No, I think it's Biel.
Is it Biel? Either way, it's just a rumor.
Just a rumor. All right. Yes, rich people and poor people do seem to share STDs. Sam?
Yes, hi, Adam. It's an honor speaking to you.
It's great to speak to you, Sammy.
Well, I got something that rich people and poor people have in common.
Mm-hmm.
That is really narrow streets where they got the total lack of parking.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know why, but yeah, I'm going along with that. And long, narrow driveways.
Yes.
Sometimes it's that dirt hillbilly driveway, and other times it's that long driveway in an estate, but not a traditional driveway. The other thing, too, as I think about it, is cul-de-sacs and dead ends. When you're poor, they call it a dead end. When you're rich, they call it a cul-de-sac. But either way, lots of rich people and poor people living on streets that have no outlet, no ending.
Yeah, that's right.
Hmm. Also, here's a weird one, alleys. See, if you go down into Beverly Hills, if you go in the most expensive real estate in Southern California, there is a whole line of alleys that go behind all those big estates in Beverly Hills. That's where all the garbage and stuff goes. If you think about it, if you drive through Beverly Hills, you don't see garbage cans out front.
Yeah.
The garbage cans go out in the back, and there's alleys that run between the huge estates. Also, of course, living off an alley usually means a bad thing, but not in the Beverly Hills case. Hey, Sam?
Yes, sir.
What do you? What's the day have in store for you?
Just a day of pounding the pavement, because, well, you may be shocked by this, but I'm unemployed at the moment.
Uh-huh. What do you do?
Right now?
Actually?
Whatever is available, tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I should go to the unemployment office.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck to you, Sam.
Good luck.
Oh. Thank you.
And look, as long as you're not working, come up with more rich man, poor man,
yeah.
Would you?
That's my job, man.
All right. I have a few Christmas-related ones.
Oh, good.
Here's a real good one. Spend Christmas at the soup kitchen.
Ah,
you're
that
either
is
the
good.
Super rich celebrity couple
yeah.
Who's down there ladling out the soup, or
right.
You're the super poor hobo who's getting the soup.
Oh, the contrast is very depressing.
You ever go to one of those places?
No. I'm not rich or poor.
Yeah. Well, the Corollas, we were more on the poor side, and I remember going to a church or two for spaghetti night.
How should I know?
By the way, if you can't afford spaghetti, you should just hang up your ovaries, Ma.
So you would down there and have a spaghetti dinner
that?
At the church?
Well, yeah, because it was like they're giving out a free spaghetti dinner, but let me do the spaghetti math. What's pasta? 50 cents a pound?
You know
what I mean? I mean, when you go to the store and you just buy a big thing of pasta, what's that set you back? You make a pot of that, you boil the water, and then you dump the ragu on top of it. That's all they handed out. So you weren't going to Spago for free spaghetti. You're just going to the church for free spaghetti.
What were the other families like?
Oh, wearing ascots. You mean the Winchesters or the Rothschilds?
I mean, Graham Wellington and his like?
Well, I must say... At a certain point, Graham was so surprised that his monocle fell into his pot of ragu. Yes, what do you mean? The lowlives. Yes. Lots of women fanning themselves and swooning and saying, quite. The people saying, quite. That's
sure,
right.
That comes up a lot.
I came in, I handed my overcoat, my cane, and my top hat.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Did you ever spill any spaghetti on your spats?
Stains. There was a distinguished gentleman sitting across from me drinking Sterno out of a brandy snifter. What do you mean, what were the other people like? They're black and Mexican. That's what they were like.
That was my question.
All right. Where were we? Ah, that's right.
My name is Tyrone Washington.
How about this? The fake Christmas tree.
Rich people have those?
Well, it is a rich and poor thing. They'll do the fake Christmas tree when you have a house that is so grand that you have like 30-foot vaulted ceilings and you almost become like a Macy's Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. you know, it's almost becomes a commercial building. You know, when some guys' houses get so big, they don't make, you know, God doesn't make Christmas trees
right.
that are going to work that for that.
Proportionally, you need a fake one.
Right. And then there's just your super low-lifers. Or, again, the worst of all, the white trash, my grandmother's rubber tree, a potted rubber tree in her living room that we used to decorate. You know what the greatest injustice of all is? When parents try to talk their cheap neuroses into being cool. Hey, this is cool. We're decorating the rubber tree. You know what I mean? It's really child abuse is what it
right.
is, but we bought into it. Hey, this is cool. Well, the other fools and stooges are decorating pines and spruces. We got a rubber tree.
Ugh. Are you looking forward to getting your tree this year?
Oh, yes.
Making up for all those sad times.
Oh, yes. Yes. And let me tell you something, people. You can't afford not to get a tree. As I've said many, many times, there are things you can do that remind you you're poor, and that's not a good idea. Not getting a Christmas tree is one of those things. Hell, you can go to IKEA or Home Depot these days and for $19 get one. And think about Christmas and smell it when you enter the door and really... really, for a moment, don't have that thing where you walk in your apartment, you look over to the right, and there's a blank space. There's a wall there where there should be a Christmas tree in front of it. It just reminds you you're poor. And then you announce to people, because people come over, hey, no tree this year? Yeah, I couldn't afford it. It's like hitting yourself on the head with a frozen slipper. Not a regular room temperature.
Frozen.
A frozen slipper. Don't do it, people. Get that tree and live. Now, where were we?
Christmas-related rich man poor
man. Ah, should have picked a theme, but here's one that has to do with summer. Richard?
Hi.
What do you have for us?
I think rich people and poor people have a hell of a good suntan.
Mm. Yes. It is true. The tannest people in the world are rich and poor.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're working out in the sun or you're going to the Mystic Tan.
It's pretty good. You Australian, Richard?
I'm English, actually.
Oh, really? I don't know why you didn't sound that way to me. What do you do?
I do a pick-up and delivery dry cleaning service, but I've been here for 20 years, so I think I've lost a lot of my accent. A lot of people think I'm Australian, actually.
Mm-hmm. Really? I wonder what that is, or I wonder how that works. So, year-round suntans and super tan, yes?
Absolutely.
Good point. Yeah, a lot of the people eating spaghetti in the church with us were tan.
I bet. Talk about rich man. I had no idea there was pick-up dry cleaning available.
Yeah. I didn't know. For me, the one day seemed like as rich as it could get. I didn't know they picked it up and dropped it off. We have hunting. Let's see. Pre-released bootleg movies. I like this one. Aaron?
Hello, Adam. It's Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron. Rich man, poor man. Yeah, getting your hands on a movie before the movie comes out on DVD.
Exactly. Like in the hills. You go to your friend's house in the hills, they already got American Gangster for your consideration.
Right.
Yeah.
But you go to the swap meet and they got the same movie.
But the guy filmed it on his cell phone.
Exactly. Instead of seeing the for your consideration crawl, you get the guy getting up to get his popcorn.
By the way, I know, and how, like, I dig being first and all that kind of stuff, but can you really enjoy a movie watching it in black and white on a guy whose hand is jiggling around because he's got the DTs and he's did it from a cell phone in Thailand? I mean, do you really, is that an enjoyable experience, or are you just saying F the man at that point?
I think so. Is Aaron in the movie business? He seems to know a lot.
Aaron?
You there?
Oop, I hit the wrong button. Let's see. Aaron?
Yep.
Are you in the movie business?
I make skateboard films, actually.
Really? So you make, like, Thrasher skateboard films?
Exactly.
He made Nut Grinder 21 through 37. Because skateboard films are just a bunch of stone 13-year-olds dragging their nuts along railings at libraries. That's what really what it's turned. That's what skateboarding used to be about, guys pulling off tricks. Now it's about guys not pulling off tricks and us watching them and feeling better about our nuts after watching their nuts drag on some railings. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T?
Yep.
Do you have one? Sorry.
Yeah. Billiards and pool.
Mm-hmm.
Similar, but one's rich and one's poor.
Yes, shooting pool, right? And having, even having a billiards table
means you're rich.
Is rich. And also, for some reason, it's the one item that poor people seem to be able to afford.
That's
certainly
right.
Hanging out at the pool hall. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We got an outro, though, Bald Brian.
Rich man.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Poor man.
Ah, my name is Tyrone Washington.
We'll take a quick break. T, what's coming up in the news?
Why bad kissing ruins relationships. It's now been proven by scientists. And a rare rap song recorded by Beach Boy Brian Wilson has surfaced.
Oh, this should be good. Let's hope he did it during his bloated, drugged out years. Danny's on his way to pick up a menorah for tea. Going to West Hollywood. We'll talk to him and we'll hear the news next.
Get dressed up. Hey, kid, you'll never.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci.
Adam's on the phone.
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
The law catches up with repeat wedding crasher, the price she'll have to pay for ruining her victim's special day.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's my show, but I should tell you that Danny Bonaducci is on his way to West Hollywood to...
He's an ass-kicker.
Pick up a menorah and possibly be raped. So we'll check in with him. T.
Yep.
In the meantime, the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
According to a new study out of Michigan State University, one of the causes of global warming? Divorce. Researchers there say that as the global divorce rate keeps flying upwards, it's leading to a huge increase in the number of households. And that means we're taking up more space and using more energy and more water than ever before. And as we use those resources, the environment deteriorates and global warming gets worse.
That's true.
Yeah, since 85, the number of households has been going up faster than the actual population, mainly because of divorce.
Never really thought about that. You wouldn't think it would be possible for the households to go up faster than the population, but
right,
this is how we do it. Plus, not only that, but... you get a Corvette, you trade in the Honda for a vet.
Right.
You place, your bachelor pad turns into Matt Helm's pad. You have a turntable for a bed. It's constantly going around. You know what I mean? You're blaring the swinging 60s music.
Sure.
It becomes a party palace.
Right. You might have electronics involved in your life that weren't before.
That's
such
right.
Such as Danny mentions from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rarely, but occasionally.
That's right. Get the candy canes this time of year that take the C-cell batteries. And, get the kegerator going. Yeah, you get the party house going. That's what happens.
Now, on to some musical news. A rap song that Beach Boys star Brian Wilson recorded as a limited edition gift giveaway for some of his friends and fans is now causing a stir in cyberspace. A copy of the 1989 cassette single has unearthed. Okay, here is a rap that he recorded with his psychotherapist, Eugene Landy.
I'm doing a Dixieland album with my shrink.
Yeah?
Yeah. Who plays clarinet? I play banjo.
My name is Brian and I'm the man. I write hit songs with the wave of my hand. Songs to surf and sun and sand. I make great music.
All right, I'm going to have a seizure. What year is this from?
89. He only made 250 of them.
He made the Chicago Bears in their Super Bowl shuffle seem like NWA.
Yeah, I know. Pretty hardcore stuff.
Oh, my God. Look, here's how I know I don't have to listen to the rest of the rap song. Whenever they started off with, my name is Adam. No one does anybody who knows how to rap start. The rap with my name is
50 Cent, and my name's Ludacris, and I'm here to say.
Never heard that.
My name's Missy Elliott.
Never heard that one start that way. That's the way white people who can't rap start their rap. Look, Whitey, stick to filthy limericks. You can be the man from Nantucket. I got no quarrel
sure.
with you.
Well, how do you feel about Whitey and country music?
What'd you call me?
I meant Whitey in general, not you.
Oh, I see. And country music.
Country music.
What?
Your girlfriend, Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars.
Is that the blonde one?
Yeah. The 19-year-old blonde. She and her partner won. She has just signed with Universal's country label, Mercury Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be dropping an album in February. Dropping a single in February, followed by an entire album. And she's already tried to get her singing career off the ground before. She released a song called Will You Dance With Me? She actually has kind of a nice voice.
I'm a dancer, and I move to the rhythm of the music.
Didn't say the lyrics were great.
Oh, it carries me.
Tea, don't talk.
Sorry.
Please. Because I'm. I have a very elaborate scenario going in my mind right now.
Are you dancing with Julian?
We're on the floor. And it's one of those ballrooms.
Right.
There's no one else on the dance floor. It's empty. But the curtains are open and the wind is blowing. Blowing the curtains in.
What's she wearing?
She's wearing that gold lamé two-piece number she wore in the last episode of Dancing with the Stars. And we're twirling and we're twirling, and she's looking into my eyes. I'm looking into her eyes, and then we do her POV and my POV.
Right.
So as we look down at her, see, first we do my POV.
Right.
I'm looking longingly at her.
That's the shot of you, your point of view.
That's my point of view. No, her point of view is at me. That's right. We see her POV, her point of view, and I mean, I'm looking longingly. But when we bring the camera around,
I am this close to raping you!
And we look down at her,
yeah.
She has her eyes closed. That means she's in love.
She's one with you and the music?
Mm-hmm. And she whispers, let's take half your kids and go to Hawaii.
Just half?
And we'll dance our lives away. That's her thing. She puts her hand out in slow motion, and she says, may I have this dance? And then I, in slow motion, put my hand in her hand, and we have a close-up of her hand squeezing my hand.
Now, what about the race car driver? Does he come bursting in at any point?
Yes, he does. He does, but I ball him up in that kind of way, like when you're, you know, when you're making clay into a ball and you put your hand flat on it,
yeah.
And just do it like you're moving right counterclockwise, kind of make him into a ball. And then I just punt him out the open window with the curtains blowing in it. Mm-hmm. And he's ironically run over by a car. And we take one of my kids to be specified at a later date, and we go to Hawaii. And we start a family of comedian dancers.
And then every time Lynette hears this song, she's got the one kid.
Who?
Your wife.
I'm married too.
Julianne Hough.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because the only time I feel alive is when I'm dancing.
I know, you've often said that.
I express myself through the majesty of it.
You can't separate the dancer from the dance.
Mm-mm.
Now,
in me.
When you and Julianne Hough are kissing in your fantasy.
Hold on. Let me write this down, see what it looks like. Adam Hough.
It's H-O-U-G-H.
H-O... Huh?
Would you change the kids' names?
Sonny Hough.
Doesn't sound right.
Hmm. Juliana. Okay. Sonny Carola Hough. Adam. Okay. Adam. Huff. Miss. Hold on. Mrs. Hough.
That'd be you.
Yes. Mrs. Adam Hough. Mrs. Julian. Mrs. Adam Juliana Hough. I could see that on towels.
Sure.
Where should we register?
Well, you know.
Hmm.
Where shouldn't you?
That's a better point. Good answer.
Thanks.
19, money, famous, and now this?
Talented?
She can sing?
Yeah, dance and sing?
Mm.
But what about that brother of hers? He might come after you.
The Aryan
Derek.
Kid?
Yeah, he looks just like the Nazi in The Sound of Music.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and he's
Rolf.
Not... He's worse. Yeah, he's not the Nazi. He's not the strong-arm Nazi. He's the rat Nazi. He's the one we see... When we're doing our Christmas play, he's the one we see sneak out of the church. He's
yeah.
going to go alert the strong arm guys. Yes,
right.
That's right. Dime-dropping Nazi. Stooley Nazi.
I'd be worried about that, Derek Hough.
Stooley and a Nazi.
Well, I want to tell you about...
Take care of him.
Hey, we're talking about Brian Wilson. It was bothering me, if you're curious. I think I found what song from the same year it sounds exactly like.
Oh.
This is Brian Wilson's from 89.
This sounds like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song. All right, hit songs with
the wave of my hand. All right, that was Brian Wilson.
New Kids?
Same year. Very influential.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all sounded the same back then, though. We will not be dancing to this song.
No. Well, my name's Teresa, and I'm here to say I'm going to have to finish the news another day.
Good stuff,
T-Bone. Break.
Hey, how about we just break it in half?
Let's do it. I'm going to tell you how being a bad kisser destroys your relationship. This has now been proven in the world of science.
There's no way that Huff is a bad kisser.
No, it's impossible.
Either way, we'll skate right past first base anyway.
You don't want to stop at first for a second?
No, I'm going to. I'm doing a wide round. We're going wide, and I'm going into third, standing up. That's the way we're going to do it.
All right.
Standing up on the dance floor. We'll take a quick break. Danny on his way to purchase a menorah. We'll check in with him and do the rest of the news next.
Happy holidays from the Adam Carolla Show.
Ah! I'm bad.
Stick around because there's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Happy holidays from Stevie Wonder and The Adam Carolla Show.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Sounds like Stevie. Speaking of velvety tones, Danny's on the blower. Danny?
This is me and my velvety tones.
Danny is en route to West Hollywood.
I am just about there.
We're going to pick up a Hanukkah menorah for tea. She needs a new one.
That's 44 colored candles.
You're 44 colored candles. Now you're going to speak to Mike. You're going to his place, I'm guessing apartment, not palatial estate. And you should arrive there shortly, yes?
Yeah, it's right next to the, well, I probably shouldn't say how close it is, but it's very near, say, like, the rainbow.
Uh-huh, so it's up around sunset there.
Right.
All right, well, do us a favor, Danny. Call us as soon as you get into Mike's apartment, and you can put him on the blower with us and act as act as our eyes.
All right, now, do you want me to call you when I'm in his apartment, or as I'm pulling up so I can describe the action, what the place looks like, or what
well,
kind of
time? Either way.
All right,
buddy. We'll talk to you. Talk to you soon. Danny's on way to
Thanks,
pick up.
Danny.
En route to pick up the menorah tea.
Yep.
Now, is this menorah? Is this this for the home or is this an auto Nora? I know you Jews have the ones that plug into the cigarette lighter.
Sure, you gotta have one in the car in the home. No, the home. This is my first year. I've had a tree.
No worshiping in the car this year.
No.
You're gonna have a tree and a menorah.
Yeah. Multicultural. My first year having a tree, there's a big deal about Jews having trees.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of means you've sold out and you've assimilated, but they're really nice.
But here's the whole thing.
It's one of your best Gentile offerings.
I
make me some Jews.
I am an atheist, and I haven't had an impacted ass full of everyone arguing over Christmas. I don't care.
Ever.
It's Christmas.
Nice.
You get a tree. You put some junk on it. There's a guy named Santa. You talk about it. I don't care what it's based in or where its origins are. Just let the kids have their effing Santa, would you? And let's just move forward. If you want your Hanukkah bush or your menorah, go knock yourself out. As far as the department stores, you go ahead and write Christmas sale. I'll not be offended, and let's move forward.
Yes, I'll not be offended either.
Thank you. All right, T, what else we got?
Okay. Thank you.
Good name for T's V, Hanukkah Bush.
If you've noticed that your dating life is following a disturbing pattern, as in you go out with somebody a few times, everything's good, then you start getting physical, and that person never talks to you again, here's a theory. According to a study in the journal Evolutionary Psychology, 59% of men and 66% of women say they've been attracted to somebody but had to end things because it turned out the person was a bad kisser. In other words, if you're a bad kisser, it gives you about a 3 in 5 chance of destroying every relationship you get into. Here's why. Kissing is crucial to both genders biologically. Women, they say, use kissing to evaluate a man's potential as a long-term partner. Men are using kissing to try to get full sexual access. Women also use kissing as a way to bond and a way to monitor the status of the relationship. Men, they found, more likely to want tongue contact. And over the course of the relationship, men worry a lot less about kissing. Why? Because they already have full sexual access. Women worry more about kissing because they're using it to gauge how the relationship is going emotionally.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess it's something we've all intuitively known. Guys, here's the problem. Guys have a penis.
Right.
And the more you know. And that penis needs to be in contact with something. Otherwise, we look at it as a sort of failed mission. So everything that is done ultimately leads to that. All roads lead to Penisville.
Okay.
You've heard that famous saying, yes?
Yeah, it's oft quoted.
It's the way, look, picture a wagon wheel and every spoke being a road, and my penis is the hub.
Okay.
That's the way it works. So the kissing is just to make you think that we're passionate and interested and good at lovemaking and so on and so forth, so that that mouth will eventually move over somewhere and go to another region of her body.
Have you had that experience, guys? Though, where you started dating somebody and then you kissed them and you thought, I can't.
No, no. I've had the oh man, bad breath.
Right.
That's a bummer. And then I've also had the, not such a great kisser. Yeah, and the thing about the great the kissing is like, it's like when you walk into the front of a store and the display is really bad and you think, I'm going to turn around and cut bait right now. I'm not going to go deeper. I'm not going to the dairy section.
Yeah.
I'm not walking to the back. I've seen the pyramid of, I was going to say tuna cans for some reason. But I've seen the pyramid of cat food cans in the front. It didn't look appetizing. I'm turning around. I'm going to the next store.
Yeah.
That's what kissing is. As opposed to great kissing, it's like you come walking in and all of a sudden you smell pumpkin pie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I got to see.
And there's some nice music being pumped in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I have to head to the back of the store and possibly may leave out the back door.
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, Tyra Banks had an important conversation on her show recently.
Hold on, I forgot my wallet. I got to go back in.
Through the back door?
Through the back door.
And then you leaving through the front?
No. I'll take a shower. What are we talking about?
I don't know. I think it's dirty.
I just want a quart of milk, sweetie. Can we get moving?
Let's talk about Tyra. Now, earlier we were talking about the rap of Brian Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
She had rap superstar Eve on her show.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to talking about sex.
Mm.
And here's some of that.
I hear that you're also like into dating guys of other races.
What's I don't discriminate.
You know what? If for a time, it was an issue. For a time, it was one of those things where I was like, is this something? I don't know. I wasn't interested. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, you know what? I'm going to love who loves me back.
And so, what race did you date?
I've dated
Samoan,
Persian. I've dated white. So.
Yeah.
Woo!
And I mean, is the sex different with different races?
You know what? It's the man. It's not the race.
Yeah.
It's the man.
It's so true. And all that stereotype about black men being, it ain't all true.
Yes. Hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
I think we all learned.
Girl.
Do you want to know today, right now, how you can become more intelligent?
Mm-hmm.
There's a new book out called Teach Yourself.
Send Danny to get a menorah.
Training Your Brain.
Huh.
And in this book, there are some different things that you can do to help your brain, and there are things that are harmful to your brain.
Mm-hmm. Ass kicker.
On the good side, eating dark chocolate.
Good.
Good. Eating a pile of cold meat for breakfast. Good. Cuddling a baby. Good.
Mm.
Having someone help with your homework because brains work better in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
Reading out loud.
Hmm.
That makes you smarter. Now, things that make you dumber. Oh, by the way, sexual relations make you smarter.
Hold on. I wasn't really focusing, but I am going to eat my kid tomorrow and then have some Toblerone.
And then sex with...
Does that make you smarter?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Not quite like that, but all of those things not in that way.
I heard you say my homework was to eat my kids.
If you do your homework with a buddy, it will help you. And cuddling a baby will make you smarter.
All right. So cuddle the kid, do the homework, gangbang the homework,
chocolate.
Eat dark chocolate, eat raw meat or just
cold,
pile of
cold
meat?
Cold meat for breakfast.
Cold meat.
Cold meat.
All right.
Cold
Not
cuts.
Hot meat.
Says cold cuts.
All right.
Also good sex and counting out loud to 99 in threes as fast as you can. Exercises your brain.
That is the greatest story I have ever heard.
Here's what you shouldn't do.
Here's my problem. Last time I did that, I ran out of steam at 11.
That's as far as Wilton threes.
Huh?
Nothing. Here's the things that harm your brain.
Mm-hmm.
The Kush.
Mm.
Watching soap operas. Drinking caffeine at night.
Huh?
Bread, pasta, or pizza anytime except at night.
Except at night. So it's about carbs. I mean, it's about carbs versus protein.
Right.
You should have protein in the morning.
And how about this one?
If you're taking the SATs, you should have yourself Canadian bacon for breakfast and not a lumberjack stack.
Yeah, maybe some salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something that harms
you. Choose, always with the salmon.
Harms your brain. Love it.
Locks on everything.
Nova Scotia. Can't go wrong.
The TV said she wouldn't sleep until I put locks on my cereal.
Locks is good on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Locks on a turd with a schmear. Tastes just fine. Now, here's something that is going to harm your brain, Adam.
Mm.
And I had no idea until I read this, and now I'm concerned. Are you ready?
If you say you porn, I'll run screaming from this building right now.
This affects me more than it affects you.
Oh, okay.
Hanging out with people who complain a lot.
Oh!
You're fine, but what about me? About my ability to do the news every day?
If that were true, my wife would be retarded, and my kids right now would be attempting to light themselves up.
This is what you woke
Well,
me
you
up
have to
for.
Counteract you have to counteract the effect you're having on your wife by complaining, by having sex with her, cuddling the baby, and getting her some dark chocolate and a pile of cold cuts.
All right. I will separate those activities and then perform them. So hanging out with people that complain lowers your IQ?
So they say. I guess it's draining.
What?
I didn't know what I was feeling. I couldn't put a label on it.
Mm. I'm going to head down to that. Where was this done?
This was a study. It's from a book. Called Teach Yourself, Training Your Brain. It's out of England.
Yeah, please. Those people with their spotted dick and their bit of all rights.
Right.
Who the hell needs those limeys? I'm this close to getting on a plane and going over there and complaining until that guy wears a wind-up beanie instead of an ascot.
You want to complain about his book that says that you shouldn't hang around people who complain?
I'll complain him right into the ground.
Well, I wonder if Danny's there yet. I think we got to take a break. That was the news.
Ah, okay.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take ourselves a break. Prisoner David. Speaking of a guy who has all the reason in the world to complain but doesn't. He is calling in, and Danny, who has no reason to complain, is calling in as well. We'll talk to either or both of them next.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check in with David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, we now have a dilemma. Danny. Hey, Danny.
Yes?
Danny, you're at Mike's house selling the menorah?
You know how they said that complaining around people can make them stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got an address. But the man lives in an apartment building with 300 apartments.
Shocking.
No apartment number, just an address.
Uh-huh.
But I did have a phone number. I called him, and our lovely Mike is down here with me at this very moment, standing in the streets of Hollywood.
Ah, I see. Mike, are you there? Can you hand the phone over to Mike?
I most certainly can, sir.
Mike?
Hey, Adam.
You have a menorah?
I haven't. No, now Danny has a menorah. I just gave it to him.
What did we sell it for?
It's $4.
$4? Because I told them talk.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Not on Hanukkah.
I told him to talk you down.
Yeah. Okay.
I needed him to whittle.
Bargain.
Whittler on the roof you down.
Negotiate.
I'm open to bargaining. What the hell? That's what life is all about. You know, this is capital.
Could we get it for $3? Because I really only had $3 allotted for my menorah budget. Could we go
$3 ahead? Is very cool.
Thank you.
$3 is very cool for you. Anything, man.
What else are you selling over there?
Oh man, I have so much stuff. I have about 10 items. I don't have them with me. They're either upstairs in my apartment or in my car in my trunk.
Mm-hmm.
I have the 5 telephone lines. I have the 2 cigar aficionado tote bags.
I have a novelty idea for you, Mike. Perhaps you should just get a job with the rest of the adult population, and then you could use that money to buy things instead of sell used crap on Craigslist.
That's too easy, though. It's better to do stuff the hard way, man.
You certainly are doing that.
Well, life is too easy if you get a job.
Hey, can you hand the phone back to Danny so he can say insulting things about your person?
I will. Hold on.
Thank you.
Hello there, sir.
Danny, what's Mike look like? Does he seem weird, and what does he smell like?
I'll describe him first. He looks really quite normal. He's wearing what is your shirt? Sweatshirt from
Muhlenberg.
Middle college in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I went to rehab in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I should have a shirt on since rehab. We'd be twins. He looks very normal. And now it's the second part of your question. Please hold on, sir. Are
you smelling him?
Smells fresh as a daisy, man.
By the way, tell him the college called. They found out you're selling crap on Craigslist, and they want their sweatshirt back.
Oh, by the way, your college called, and they heard you're selling crap on Craigslist, and they want your diploma back.
Oh, okay, by the way, I didn't go there, then.
No.
He didn't go there. He just stole the shirt.
Danny, how does the menorah look? Is it decent?
Now, this is kind of interesting. The menorah, he handed me the menorah and the 44 candles that are inside, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, on the back of the box, I can tell you all about Hanukkah right now and the festival of lights, when it celebrates. I have quite the education now. But what's interesting is there's a young man lighting rather large candles on a rather large menorah, almost his height.
Mm.
This menorah, with its 44 candles, is about half the size of a carton of cigarettes.
Mm.
Oh.
Mini travel menorah.
Do you think it screws together and gets bigger? Or
open it up and look at it.
It's just a little... the picture's a tad misleading, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what the picture is supposed to mean. The picture is supposed to mean...
just negotiate us out of our $3?
Yeah, we want a full-scale menorah.
Yeah, I'm afraid my companions are now demanding a full-scale menorah.
I didn't sign up to get a Matchbox menorah.
Perhaps. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to buy it out of my own money just because I'm dying to see how they got four menorah and 44 candles in a box that I can hold in my back pocket.
You explain to this huckster that we didn't buy a menorah for Barbie's Dream Synagogue.
Very well said. And I'm going to quote
not
exactly
a good seller, by the way.
No.
Directly from out of Corolla.
All right.
You listen here, mister. That's how it starts.
That Malibu's dream Honda did not take.
You listen here, mister. We did not buy a menorah that would fit in Barbie's dream house.
Mm.
Good? How was that?
Close. It was
close.
An 8. Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
Why don't you get that menorah mount up and head back since we're plumb out of show?
Okay, I am on my way. I'll pay this man his money. Be right back.
Nice work.
By the way, traffic sucks, but so when I say right back, I mean someday.
All right.
Thank you, Danny. That was very
good
nice
times.
Of you. And I'm sad we didn't get to talk to Prisoner David.
Oh, man. Hey, Prisoner David.
Adam, what's happening?
You were going to do a musical for us?
Yeah, so I know I just get to it. We only got a few minutes of time still, so.
No, we'll we don't. We're out of
seconds.
Time. I'll tell you what.
Inmate at a California correctional facility.
I promise we'll do it tomorrow. You're going to be there tomorrow?
Oh, I'm not going anywhere.
Please try your call again later.
God, I love Prisoner David. I think I'm serious. We'll take ourselves a break. Be back to wrap it up next. Yeah. Well, I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. First, Pat Buchanan. Day of Reckoning. bookstores now. Janice Dickinson.
Stop it.
The Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency.
Why are you persistent telling me these lies?
Tonight, 10:30 on the Oxygen Network. And, of course, our own Teresa Strasser, TMZ TV. Tonight, check your local listings. I never miss it. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Shocking.